This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Rob and Akiva need a podcast, and they need your help. Can you make it onto the wheel? Rob and Akiva need a podcast. Yeah, they'll buy or sell your ideas. They'll talk about it till you've gotten your fill. Every weekend, better ahead. You can guess what will be coming up next. Rob and Akiva need a podcast.
Yeah. Yes, that's right. Rob and Akiva need a podcast, episode number 110. Rob and Akiva have a PR firm. We're going to be punching up things that are getting a little long in the tooth, whether they're brands or people or customs or anything. We are going to be helping out, giving out free advice to so many things that need a little bit of a boost. That's what we're going to be doing here with a man who hosts not only 3.5 podcasts, but also listens to every major album upon its release. Here is the man who needs no rebranding, Uncle Kiwi, Akiva Winokur.
First of all, this is free advice. I thought, you know, I didn't realize this was free. I thought we were, you know, giving
$10. What, we're getting a consulting fee?
Yeah, yeah. Everyone who sent in the Google form, part of it was $10 Venmo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
Listen to every album upon their release. Explain.
Did you not do that?
I do. Did I need to explain? Did you hear that on NGOG?
Yes.
Oh, okay, fine. That just came out like a couple hours ago. I was surprised you were referencing it. I didn't know if I referenced it elsewhere.
Yeah. Yeah,
I know you're such a diehard that it blew my mind.
It blew my mind. You have to listen to every single. What are you afraid you're going to miss something?
Yeah, I'm afraid I'm going to miss something.
If it's good, you'll hear about it. Let everybody else take the first pass on new albums.
Yeah, so I stopped listening to every single album that comes out, but I'll usually listen to like five a week.
Five albums? Why?
But I don't always make it through. Like sometimes I'll be. Sometimes I like the name of the band. I'll give it. I'm good at guessing how much I like
the name of the band.
Like the name of the band, you know.
Boy,
I'm good at guessing that I'm going to like it based on the. I have good taste in music. That's one thing everyone says about me.
I would love to. Can we get this as a thing of new band names? Will Akiva like this or not?
Yeah, absolutely. We could have that for the mailbag.
That was just insane to me. Not even like, oh, I'll listen to these are like the top 10 Billboard tracks. Every new album.
Yeah. Listen, I'm a weird guy.
Wow.
I mean, listen, I did stop doing it. It felt like a job, you know? It was too much. It was too annoying. Sometimes, like one week, I didn't listen to any music. So I'm like, oh, now I got to listen to like 30 albums this week instead of 15. But I did it, and I found a lot of good new music. Anyone could ask.
And then what'd
me for
you do with it? I mean, I didn't hear you, do you have like a mailing list that you tell people to? Hey,
no,
check
I don't
out.
Think anybody cares.
Hey, Chester, play this song at the end of a 32 Fans episode.
I have not picked the music on the end of a 32 Fans episode in like 2 years. Chester doesn't ask me.
But what are you doing with this information?
Nothing. Keeping it to myself.
Why?
Nobody wants it. If anybody
That's
wants
the fourth
it, I would
podcast Akiva's new album review.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Albums mm-hmm. with Akiva.
I don't hate it. I don't hate that idea. I just think music is so specific that it wouldn't do well. Like, yes, the show New Girl or, you know, maybe, you know, the show Psych, let's say, like they have a limited audience. of maybe the, you'd think the people who watch them to listen, but like music, I just feel like people aren't super interested. There are no, if you look at the podcast charts, there are very few extremely popular music podcasts.
Ah, here the Ringer is working on a new one.
Yeah. I mean, I like the idea of doing, you know, you have a different artist every week. So it's like Taylor Swift week and you just listen and talk about Taylor Swift the whole time with like the world's biggest Taylor Swift expert. And then the next week you do it with like the Cars, you know, you do old bands and new bands. Mm-hmm. And
all right.
That would be a good show.
Yeah. All right. Podcast number four. I predicted it in the Robin Akiva flash forward episode. So we'll see if it comes to fruition. But let's talk about the task at hand. And we are going to be doing something that I've wanted to do for a very long time. Punch up ideas of existing things that are out there that could use our help. And this is, I guess, a spiritual successor to Millennials Killed It, which I was from, I would say, around like the 40s of the episode run. Do you have a finger on the pulse of when was Millennials Killed It?
Are you asking me or our guest?
You.
Because our
you.
Guest would remember better than me. If I had to guess, I would say 32.
32. Oh, I'd say I'll take the over on that. I want to say it's 45. If I had to guess. All right, let's take a look. But anyway,
yeah, 44. So, you're right. It's 44. You are correct.
So here she is, of course, that in addition to being a returning guest to Robin Akiva, Need a Podcast, that she is also the co-host of a brand new podcast, which is for all those psychos out there. Finally, there is a psych rewatch. We'll find out if it's the first of its kind. Here is Dr. Amanda Rabinowitz.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. And I get the plug right at the top for my podcast. That's
like to
fantastic.
Get it out of the way. I feel like then there's no pressure. Like it's not like, oh, I didn't get my plug in.
Thanks for having me. And that podcast is I Know You Don't Know, and you can find us on all of your major podcasters, myself and the great Jason Curtis Rivera.
Yes, composer of Renap the Musical.
Exactly, another Renap icon in his own right.
Yes. Amanda, are there any other psych rewatch podcasts? Are you the only one?
Well, we're the only active one right now. There have been a handful of podcasts that have done a few episodes. And, you know, I'll pat ourselves on the back with our five episodes out to date. But we're in it for the long haul. Okay. So right now, if you want a psych rewatch, I know, eight's a magic number. We'll have a big party when we get to eight.
Okay. All right. But Amanda, we're going to be talking about different ideas that need help. Why is this an interesting subject for you? Assuming it is.
So this is actually, this was one of the ideas on the original Renap wheel, and I suggested it early on, and I think I got the idea because, you know, I was a big Seinfeld listener, and I remember, you know, all of the good that you guys did for American Salami, as it's now commonly called, formerly Bologna. Yeah. So I always thought that, you know, and you've done this bit, Rob, on RHAP from time to time, is just kind of mused about rebranding either a person or a product. So it always just seemed to be something that spurred a lot of good discussion. So I thought it was a great idea. And it sat on the wheel for, I think, a few months. And then at some point, when you guys were examining the wheel, you said that this wasn't specific enough. You didn't think that it was any good. And that was when I went back to the drawing board and sort of rebranded my own idea as Millennials Killed It. And then that made it on the wheel. And recently it was Mike Bloom who I think suggested to bring it back. So that's the history of Robin Akiva have a PR firm.
Akiva, how did we get the suggestions that we're going to talk about here today?
Well, can I say, by the way, I was just looking and I have a copy of the wheel from August 26th, 2019.
Yeah.
And, or 2018? Yeah, 2018.
Okay.
And I see Robin Akiva. That's my first mention of Robin Akiva of a PR firm. It's next to Wife Swap Kids, Wife Swap Quiz, Your Kids Taste Is Trash, Watching Seinfeld, The Wizard. Did we do that? Oh, yeah we did do that. Tenor Trash, April 13th, 1994, CSI New York. So.
Yeah.
Season three, episode seven of Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee, which we, I believe, took out of the fishbowl at some point. And a Seinfeld fan fiction thing that I do not remember. How did we, Amanda made a form and people filled out the form. Hundreds of people filled out the form with their ideas.
Yeah, how many submissions do we get?
Yeah, so I closed it down after I got 79 submissions because people submitted up to five. So we had upwards of, 250 separate submissions that I then sort of went through and picked the 50 that I thought were the best. I've sort of prioritized those. I don't know how many we'll have time to get to today, but there's plenty where these came from. So if you guys don't like an idea, we can move on to another one.
We can pass unlimited times. Also, before we get too far down the road with this idea, I also thought we had a lot of fun this past weekend, Akiva, on Choose Your Own Renap Venture with Liana and then Mike Bloom and then an extra full bloom Mike Bloom in the mailbag.
Yeah, people seem to like that episode. It was fun. Maybe the books didn't really bring their A-plus game, but we had fun, working our way around the mystery.
Let me just say, I spoke to an animal expert this week, and I asked her about your theory about a zebra being one of the top five smelliest animals. And she said, you are way off base. A zebra does not smell. It is an amazing animal. It belongs in a zoo. It's not just the same thing as a horse, but with a cooler color palette. And you had very cold takes on a zebra.
Yeah. All right. So I did ask Sean Falconer to ask his wife, Sandy, who's a zookeeper, what the top five smelliest animals are at the zoo are. Do you want to guess any of them?
Well, I asked my animal expert the same thing. And and she said that a zebra is not particularly aromatic. And it is not going to smell that bad. And she said the smelliest animal is an otter, not Lindsay the otter.
Wow.
Not Lindsay the otter. Wow. An otter.
Sandy said silverback gorilla, flamingo, penguin, which was shocking.
Yeah.
And if you're counting their holding areas, hippos and rhinos, because they poop everywhere and it's a lot. And some people think the lemurs or the fossa. And birds sometimes are actually smelly. Not Josh Lemur, no. And also, I said there are no skunks at the zoo, and then another, we have a lot of zookeepers, I guess, in, who listen to the podcast, big in the zoo community, the zoo community. And I think Mike C said that he immediately dunked on me by posting a picture of him with a skunk at the zoo.
Yep. Okay.
So I would say every single thing I said was wrong last week, basically, about the zoo.
Renap doesn't have the greatest track record in zoology.
No. No, we're not animal experts. Okay. All right. So that being said, Amanda, where do you want to start?
Hey, well, let's see. So like I said, I got a ton of great suggestions. The form was up for less than 24 hours and people were really raring to go with this. I think I'll start. There were a couple of things that got nominated several times. So maybe we'll start with one of those. And like I said, if you guys aren't feeling it, there's plenty of suggestions to choose from. So let's start with black licorice, which is on about four people's surveys. They think the black licorice is ready for a rebrand.
All right, Akiva, well, you're a licorice guy. Black licorice, one, tastes bad. I think it also, it could kill you if you eat too much of it, but
it's dangerous. Yeah, it has a great combination of having a bad smell, tasting bad, and it's like poisonous, basically. Maybe we should rebrand it as not a food. This is not food.
What else can you do with it? I mean, could you do pull and peel black licorice?
Oh, see, now that, I mean, it would be fun to do the pull and peel. But I mean, like, I can't say this enough. Licorice is like my favorite food. I've said this before. I know it sounds crazy, but I love Twizzlers and licorice so much, and red vines. And black licorice is like my least favorite food. Like, I like can't be in the same room as olives, and I would rather eat an olive than black licorice. I never think of it, so it's never in my like Mount Rushmore, my Mount Flushmore of bottom four foods.
Mount Flushmore,
with
sure.
Olives and bacon bits and
yeah.
Is it irredeemable?
It could be. The only thing I could think of is, could you market it that it tastes, that it's gross? Like, don't market it as like a candy. Market mm-hmm. it as like black licorice. It's so gross. Can you handle it? Like, could it be like the slime of foods? Yeah.
Yeah. What if the slogan is, we know it sucks?
Yeah. I don't have a lot here for the black licorice.
You don't have a lot. I have one other thought about black licorice. It might mm-hmm. be what if you're not eating it because it tastes good, but what if it has some like medicinal property, or mm-hmm. if it's like, you know, makes you stronger, or it, you know, it's tied to virility, like all of this, none
virility.
Of the snake oil.
Oh, okay, we're out. Okay.
None of this snake oil stuff really works.
Yes. Yes. Okay.
$20, baby. Well, I listen, vitamins taste, they have vitamins that they're flavored great and I don't take them.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know why I would take this horrible flavored thing. Like, I think if the doctor was like, listen, a black licorice a day keeps the doctor away, I'd be like, all right, I'm going to die.
Yeah. It also, that I think it is, produces the opposite effect of virility, according to this memo from the FDA, which says, no matter what your age, don't eat large amounts of black licorice at one time. If you have been eating a lot of black licorice and have an irregular heart rhythm or muscle weakness, stop eating it immediately and contact your healthcare provider.
Oh, no.
So, like, I would think that, I don't think we could do anything for black licorice. I'm sorry.
It's too beyond the pale.
The only thing you could do with black licorice is use it to sell more red licorice.
That's right.
Like, sort of like have it out there like black licorice. Are you kidding? Like, get some red licorice.
What if you double the price of black licorice, but they're next to each other on the shelf? So it's like,
so
you know,
sort
black
of like
licorice
a Johnny
is like,
Walker black licorice.
Yes, exactly. Yes. Black licorice is like $4.99 and the regular red licorice is $2.99. So it looks so much cheaper. You're like, wait, why is the black licorice more? This must be on sale. This is a deal.
Oh, I think we're onto something. Well, I think we're onto something. Okay. What if we really marketed it as being extreme licorice? Like, you mm-hmm. could die if you eat too much black licorice. Like, could we mm-hmm. get like sort of the, you know, extreme energy drink, vaping crowd, the sort of people who are like it because like a moth to mm-hmm. a flame.
Yeah. And if we lose some of them, it's not a big deal.
Mm-hmm. Like, we need it. Let's get it like an FDA warning on it, like super big on the front of like, this is hazardous to your health.
Fake FDA warning?
No.
Can we make up our own FDA?
The real FDA warning, but
so
blow it up
huge. We have to campaign for our product to be like basically semi-banned.
I just read you a warning from the FDA.
Mm-hmm.
So.
I think this is brilliant. I think that you guys are really nailing this.
Okay. All right. That being said, okay, then let's quit while we're ahead on the black licorice.
Okay, let's get out of here.
Any candy makers that are out there, you can run with that.
All right, so this next place that I want to go, I have a feeling that this item might appeal to Akiva. Velcro shoes.
Mm-hmm.
Can we bring Velcro shoes back? Are we ready to rebrand here?
Do either of your sons still use Velcro shoes, Rob?
Yeah, my kids can't tie their shoes.
It's very tricky, respect to those kids. It's very tricky when you are getting at the door. Let's say you're like, oh, school's in 12 minutes. So we're having a doctor's appointment. You know, it's 15 minutes away and it's, you know, the appointment's at 2 and it's 1:43. And then you have to like first get your kid's shoes on or tie your own shoes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but that's the worst thing. Like, you're ready to go. You can't even, one of the shoes is here. Another one's in the living room. You can't even find the shoes. So I'm definitely pro Velcro shoes. I also would be pro maybe like a tracking device, like the way I got my wife one for her phone and her car keys because she loses them a lot. Yeah. Like a tracking device for kids' shoes. I would be in on that too.
that would be good. They could beep, sort of like if you lost your iPad, you can get it to make a noise. But let's just stick with the Velcro shoes here for a second, because I think that, you know, for children, they're still, you know, very popular, if not ubiquitous in children's shoes. Is that fair to say, Amanda?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. All of my kids' shoes are Velcro.
So I guess let's start with the question. Why are there not Velcro shoes for adults? Yeah. Akiva, how do you find Velcro shoes for adults?
I mean, I guess you'd Google Velcro shoes, but I think your selection would be limited.
Very limited. I mean, could we sort of say, like, hey, your shoelaces are very close to the ground, which is dirty, and do you want to be touching a shoelace which has been on the ground? So you got all of your disinfecting wipes and trying to, like you don't know what's on the floor, people walking around, you're trying to keep your home germ free, especially now that I feel like that the Velcro shoe is going to be far more sanitary than laces.
So you think in the time of the pandemic it makes more sense, like laces are out basically. Like on Ace Ventura, Pet Detective Warren. I don't know. Are we going to?
So germophobia is very hot right now, but is that good for your brand to make people anxious? I mean, is that attracting people to the Velcro shoes or is it just reminding
maybe
them of
something upsetting?
Maybe that's a
selling point. That's a selling point.
Yeah.
In terms of.
I went to Nike.com and I searched Velcro and it said we have nothing for you. Velcro shoes are not popular right now.
Why? Because they feel like they're for babies.
I guess, but you'd think that they would sell baby Velcro shoes on Nike.com.
Trying to think of, like, from a fashion perspective, I don't think anything's wrong with Velcro. I think one of the things I don't like about Velcro is that it gets, like, all, like, a bunch of, like, lint in the Velcro.
Yes, that's a problem. It loses stickiness when it gets too linty.
Yeah. But I don't like tying my shoes. I can do it.
Yeah, like I said, people always ask me about my shoes, the on-running shoes I wear that have no laces or Velcro. They have laces, you just don't have to tie them. It's just very tight. And you just, it's just already tied. Unless I'm doing something wrong. Maybe that's how I broke my foot last year. I don't know.
Akiva, would an NBA player play in Velcro?
I think you could start a trend. Listen, if Nike or Adidas paid them enough money, like they'd wear anything.
Yeah.
But I just think Velcro is really starting from a bad place, which is like it's considered a kid shoe. We try and encourage kids to learn how to tie their shoes. I don't know. Velcro is it's definitely has two strikes on it.
I think we need an athlete to get on board with the Velcro.
Do you have a particular athlete in mind? Like which athlete?
Like
really...
we need to like Air Jordan this thing. So first off, let's find the NBA superstar that we can make a pun with their name with Velcro. Like if Antonio Cromartie was playing still, he could
be
Velcro
Marty. Absolutely. That's not bad. I was thinking, what if we go with the opposite strategy of getting the worst players to wear our shoes?
The worst players?
Yeah.
What would that do?
I don't know. Just like, hey, look, it would be funny. Like, hey, look who's wearing our shoes. Like J.R. Smith and Sam Darnold are wearing Velcro sneakers to play. It's not a bad idea.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know if there's too much else that we could do for the Velcro shoes.
No, I think Velcro, listen, I don't think the Velcro shoes are lucky to still be in like kid shoe stores. As I said, it doesn't even exist on most of these shoe sites I'm checking right now. I'm sorry, there's nothing we could do for you, Velcro shoes.
Okay. I do think that if we could get a prominent athlete to be the face of Velcro, I think that would go a long way.
So you don't like my idea of a terrible athlete?
What would that do? Why would you have a terrible athlete?
I mean, you'd get them very cheap, and then maybe we'd get some publicity. Like this company signing up the worst players in the NBA for a tenth of the price. I mean, like you want to get, you know, Steph Curry now. You're talking nine figures. If you want to get the worst player on the Raptors, you can probably get him for 50 grand,
like an up and comer.
You want you think we get OG, or is he like too big now? OG Anunoby.
He's an up and comer.
How about Fred Van Vliet, but it's like Fred Van Velcro Vliet or something like that. We had a V to his name.
Yeah.
Fred Van Velcro Feet.
Yeah. I think if we had, I think basketball is where we want to be, right?
Yeah. I mean, if you're in the shoe game, you start at basketball. Absolutely.
So, I think that we just need an NBA player to get on board.
Yeah. All right, fine. All right, we'll work on that.
Let's keep going. Let's go with something else.
Okay. So let's go to a person that could use a rebrand. What do you think about prop comedian Carrot Top?
Carrot Top. Okay. Carrot Top, he was big. Was it in the, did he get big in the 90s? But then he's got like, he had like a weird look. He got like really jacked, and then his face looks weird. And I don't know if he had like a lot of plastic surgery of what's going on. I think he works primarily out of Vegas right now. I mean, Akiva.
Yes.
Could Carrot Top get, yeah, that he's like, you know, I don't want to like go on too much about anybody's personal appearance, but I he's rather frightening, Carrot Top.
You could see Carrot Top in Vegas this month.
Yes.
If you want.
Oh, okay. Oh, no. Okay, step one, shut it down for a couple of months, Carrot Top.
I imagine getting like, there's like ways to get corona. They're like, all right, what are you gonna do? And then there's ways that are like completely embarrassing.
Yeah,
like, yeah, super spreader event, Carrot Top
at the Luxor
concert, yeah, in Vegas.
Yeah. So could Carrot Top just do his whole act on TikTok,
like with the props?
Yeah, with the props. It's very visual.
I don't think it's a bad idea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Carrot Top, he grew up in Florida. How old is Carrot Top, Akiva?
I'm going to guess 56.
56. Boy, you are very close that he will be 56 on February 25th.
Wow. I celebrated his birthday a little early. Yes. I get so excited about it.
Youngest son of a NASA engineer.
Wow.
Yeah. Do you ever mix up Carrot Top and Pauly Shore? Is that just me?
No, I never mix them up. Pauly Shore's not really a prop comic.
No,
Pauly Shore's not even really a comic.
What is he then?
I don't know. His parents owned the Comedy Store. And he sort of like ended up just sort of by nepotism just being a comedian. But I don't know if he really had like jokes.
Yeah, I mean, Carrot Top, I feel like, is he on Twitter, Carrot Top? Like, is he a regular tweeter, I would wonder? And like, how, and what kind of following does he have?
I don't think that he's a regular tweeter. Again, he's more of a visual act than he is a joke
great
writer.
Wit.
Right. With all due respect to Carrot Top. Carrot Top.
His real name is Scott Thompson. No.
Oh, okay. Popular name. So
yeah, he only has, you know, it's funny because I would have thought he has like a legitimate following just because he is sort of famous.
Yeah.
He only has 64,000 followers and he does tweet. It's a little weird.
Yeah. What's his name on Twitter?
@RealCarrotTop.
Oh, Real Carrot Top.
There's a lot of imposters.
I guess so. Real Carrot Top. And he joins on April 2009. And he actually has tweeted 21 minutes ago.
Yeah, but I think he's one of those guys who only tweets Instagrams because he has more followers on Instagram. He's 83,000.
Probably because he has all visual. You know, what does he have on Insta?
Yeah. I don't know. Carrot Top, I don't think, I'm not sure we could bring him back either.
Yeah, I don't know.
He shouldn't have been famous the first time. Why are we doing this to... There is a weird thing in American pop culture, Amanda and Rob.
Yes.
Where we tend to celebrate people like when they get older, even if they sort of sucked when they're younger. And if they were decent or good, like, and this person didn't suck, but I'm saying like Joan Rivers is like liked and then like she gets older and she's like an icon. And even Betty White, like nobody was really talking about her post Golden Girls, but then it's like, oh, Betty White's old and sort of like now she's a treasure. I do think that there is a scenario where Carrot Top is like 80, and then he's like, no one remembers that he actually sucked, and it's like, oh, this titan of comedy.
Do you think he
Carrot
just
Top.
Needs to make it like 25
he just
more
to
years?
Live. Yeah, absolutely.
Does
so he should stop doing
go
these shows
away.
In Vegas.
Does he need to just be out of the public eye and then kind
I
of
think
come back?
He did go away. He might. You might
I
argue
don't think
he
ever went away.
Right now.
So you're saying, Akiva, that he needs to become like this elder statesman of prop comedy?
No, Rob's saying he needs to go away. I think he's like operating. He's operating in plain sight to nobody.
Yeah, I think that he has been at the Luxor for 20 years, if I had to
but
guess.
That's like a weird thing. Are people actually coming? Like, are people paying to see him every day? Like,
yeah, I mean,
going?
In October 2019, Carrot Top signed a 5-year extension at the Luxor.
That's crazy.
He has been entertaining a Las Vegas audience. This was in 2019 for 15 years. So I guess he started there in 2004.
It's such a specific thing because like most good comics like tour the country. He stays in one place. It's very rare if you think about it. Like Britney Spears stays there, but there aren't a lot of comedians that are just.
I think there's more than you think.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then what I mean, like in terms of his IMDb, we could IMDb bag Carrot Top for a second. He does like one hitters on like animated shows like Family Guy. He was in Sharknado in a cameo, Sharknado 4.
Yeah.
He really does not have a lot of IMDb credits that aren't, a quick voice job. The one movie they made. Do you remember this movie?
What, Chairman of the Board?
Chairman of the Board.
Put that in the crappy movie diaper today.
Yeah, I think we should put that in the crappy movie diaper. I think it's maybe, it has 2.3 on IMDb. So I think it might be worse than, what was the movie we watched last week that was like abominable?
The movie, it's Spice World?
I think Chairman of the Board is worse than Spice World.
I think the problem for Carrot Top is that, in his debut, like that he became to be known as America as like his movie is Chairman of the Board. He's a surfer who becomes the head of a major company. His identity is like he's sort of like this youthful surfer guy that's like a wacky and zany. But now he's an older gentleman. Like, I don't know that his act has aged. I think he's sort of still playing sort of like teenage surfer guy.
Do you think we could get Chairman? Do you think we could get Carrot Top for the podcast?
No,
you have more followers.
I suspect Carrot Top is a rather surly individual in real life.
I don't think I've ever heard a good story about Carrot Top.
Yes,
you know,
yeah. So I say we put Chairman of the Board in the crappy movie diaper, and that's the first step that we could take to
helping his image. Back very slowly. I agree. Good call.
Yeah. Amanda, do you have any Carrot Top experience?
I do not have any direct Carrot Top experience. I mean, I remember that he would be on Comedy Central pretty frequently back in the 90s, maybe. That's probably the extent of my Carrot Top experience.
Yeah. I mean, he's basically been, at the Luxor for 20 years. I don't know if you're familiar with the Luxor is the pyramid hotel in Vegas. It's not like elite. It's not like super nice.
Carrot Top is the guy there.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who would be the classic comedian at like the nicest hotel on the strip?
I mean, Jerry Seinfeld is at Caesar's Palace a lot, but he's not. He doesn't have a residency there.
No, that would cost a lot of money, probably.
Yeah, yeah. But there's a lot of comedians that are there. Like, I feel like that Jay Leno was like in Vegas every single weekend for a long time. Like, I think there's a lot of comedians that sort of like set up shop. I'm sure. As of right now, the situation is very fluid.
Speaking of the situation, would you rather hang out with Carrot Top or Mike the Situation, Mizanin? Mike Mizanin is the Miz. What's the situation? Oh, Sorrentino.
I'd rather hang out with the Situation. I think that he's probably like you could get him on a good day, and I think he might be in a better mood. Where I feel like that Carrot Top is probably just very salty.
There are no good days, you're saying, for Carrot Top.
I suspect not.
I don't think we know much about him. Like he doesn't have personal info on his Wikipedia page. I don't know if he's like married or has children, or I don't know anything about him really.
Yeah. Okay. Well, maybe we need to he needs to drop the carrot. Okay. How about this? Drop the Carrot Top persona. Go by Scott Thompson now.
Scott Thompson. You think he should rebrand now at the age of 56?
Yes, I think.
And does he drop the props? And does he change his hair?
I don't know if he needs to lose the whole act, but I think that if he sort of like, but then would people go see Scott Thompson at the Luxor? Catch 22.
They would say who? They wouldn't know. Would have to say Scott Thompson, Carrot Top in parentheses or something.
So, what if we went by Scott Carrot Top Thompson?
I mean, that's a start. All right. All right. December 17th, he's playing the Luxor. I'm going to see how much tickets cost.
$40.
Carrot Top. Okay, that's not bad.
Yeah.
So maybe he doesn't need any help. Maybe he's doing fine.
He's
right.
doing his thing. He's now he's yeah. like 5 years from now, he'll still be at the Luxor doing his thing. We know where to find him. He's probably fine. He's got this far. That I think that he who has a better chance of being redeemed, Carrot Top or Black Licorice?
Carrot Top. I think Black Licorice, as we said, irredeemable.
I think Black Licorice could make more of a comeback.
I like the spin you got. I think you had a good strategy for Black Licorice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I can see the path forward.
Black Licorice TikTok challenge. It could be a thing. Carrot Top is probably a little more, you know, the die is cast for Carrot
what
Top.
What about like how much Black Licorice can you eat? TikTok challenge where people are like stuffing five
Black
Licorice
in their mouth. I don't want to kill anybody. I don't want
that. Yeah, that's tricky, right?
I don't want that don't on my that. Conscience.
Yeah, Nicole, don't do it. Don't do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow. Rich Little is going to be playing at the Tropicana this weekend.
It's so weird. Because, I mean, I guess if you come from a really small town, but like you could get better comedians than Carrot Top in almost like any mid-level American city.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like if you live in Sacramento, like whatever the comedy club is there, better people than Carrot Top come to town.
Yeah.
So why are you going to Vegas to see Carrot Top?
Pre-pandemic.
Yeah. I don't mean now, but I mean in general, like, you could see much better comedians than Carrot Top and Rich Little.
Yeah. Okay. All right. What else?
Okay. So this is an interesting one. I was trying to look up to see what the current stock prices are for this item, but Corona beer.
Yeah.
Does Corona beer need a rebrand for the obvious reasons?
I don't think so. I think they're going to be fine. I think Cinco de Mayo 2021, I think once the storm clouds sort of part, I think that, hey, we're back. It. What do you think, Akiva?
I think their campaign, not to have a similar sounding one from the licorice one, but I think their campaign has to be like, make not playing light of it. I guess you can't because of what happened, but like, the slogan almost needs to be like, well, that sucked, but like, now we're back, baby. Corona beer.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't think that's going to work, actually. I think people will be mad.
I think that it's...
Are there sales down? Are the sales of Corona beer down?
I know that they took a big hit in the early days of the pandemic.
I saw very mixed... I heard people saying like, hey, you can't... You know, when people were stocking up, during the first like true lockdown, people were like, well, everything's available. Yeah, everything's gone but Corona beer. But then people saying, no, they sold, you know, they're selling just as much as normal.
I don't think they need the help. This is from August of 2020. According to Corona is still the world's most valuable beer brand, despite a virus outbreak. In March, people seemed concerned if the beer sales dropped, but I think that was disputed by Snopes. And as of July 30th, it seems like Corona sales haven't been hurt by its name. So that was as of July 30th.
And this is a dumb question, but is Corona the virus known by that name in every country in the world? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, there are probably countries where they call it something else and there's no connection. Like, obviously the United States, probably Mexico is called that, you know, but I'm sure there are countries where they have a different word for it.
Hmm. Yeah.
Like in Russia, I'm sure sales haven't been affected.
Yeah. If anything, this was the biggest year ever for drinking. So there might have been an impact on the sales compared to other beers, but I think that overall, the rising tide, I think, just lifted Corona beer. I think they make a big campaign that they are back. Maybe they really emphasize the Corona Light, Corona Extra.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, people like the irony too. I feel like that, you know, people want to have a, you know, once we can gather again, that people will have a good time with, oh, we have a Corona, we're having a post-Corona party. So I think you're right that it's going to be okay.
Cinco de Mayo, I feel like that's going to be sort of like the springtime. I feel like we're coming out of this. That's going to be, we got to get through this winter. But I feel like May is going to be a big month.
But would your advertising like make, you know, sort of a passing reference to it, or would you just plow on?
Party, okay. We're back. you know, celebrate Cinco de Mayo. Mm-hmm. Like, I think that we want to promote the summer fun. We're back to partying. Some people haven't stopped.
If you are like Corona, I do think you would be like basically lobbying all the news channels and newspapers and everything to like just call COVID. You know what I mean? Like, the more people call COVID, the less you're sort of on people's minds.
Again, it has not made a dent. They're fine.
All right.
They're fine. They don't need our help.
Yeah, they're a billion-dollar corporation, Amanda. I know you love helping billion-dollar corporations.
The 1%. Okay, can you guys work any of your magic with the DMV?
The DMV, okay. The Department of Motor Vehicles.
Motor Vehicles,
Let's see. People don't like it because they have to go there, and you have to do a lot of stuff there in person. Could we shift more stuff to online? Is that going to help anything, Akiva?
Well, I mean, obviously they would want to. Like, if they could do that, they would. They would have done it already, I think.
Hmm. So, I mean, my longstanding idea for the DMV is basically turn the whole thing into the setup for The Price is Right. Like, you go there, the whole thing with the DMV is like, oh boy, I got my number. I'll just go sit here for 5 hours now and see what happens. But what if that it was a lot of excitement? You just pulled your number. You could be next. Like, it's sort of like, all right, the next person, come on down, B73. You're the next participant here. And like, your people are excited.
Mm-hmm. I do like it. What about the person who just never gets called? Like, they've been there 5 hours.
Unlucky break.
So there's no maximum. There's no like after. We're almost exacerbating that.
You lose some.
Yeah, it's true. Could we make it more fun, though? Like, what if we put in better chairs? You know, the government's got unlimited money. Like, what if we put in better chairs, maybe some TVs on the good channels, not on, like, News 12 Long Island or whatever?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, what
would you put on?
Put on, you know, ESPN and CNN. Like, put on, you know, normal.
I don't think
normal...
you really want people to loiter, though.
Why not? Who cares if they loiter?
I think you sort of don't want a crowd.
Well, you don't want a crowd, but you need an appointment to get in. You know what I mean? You can't just come in off the street like, hey, I want to catch the end of this game. Let me go check it out at the DMV.
A lot of people are coming in off the street.
Well, I mean, why can't they essentially have like a dry sports bar at the DMV?
I don't know. I know. Well, first of all, not everybody
serving food. You have some food there.
I don't know that they should serve food, but you know, could we have some sort of a refreshment at the DMV?
Yeah, snacks. What if there were snacks?
What if there were snacks? Yeah, could it be like a flight? Like, could you have like, you know, here's, you know, would you like the blue chips or the pretzels?
Mm-hmm. You have
like a T-bird walking around through the aisles offering you beverage service?
Maybe it's sort of like when you walk in, you could sort of like, here's the clipboard and would you like to take a snack?
I mean, or you could, like, what if you just combine DMV with other things? Like, you take a number, and it's next to a bowling alley.
Bowling alley?
Yes, you go bowling, and then when it's your turn, you go to the DMV.
Bowling alley is very loud.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, but I think also that I think the bowling alley might be one that needs our help, because I think that not a lot of people want to stick their hands in the ball right now.
It's true. Right now, I'd say bowling alley is probably not doing
and
great.
And wear other people's shoes. The bowling alley is in a lot of trouble. More so than the DMV. But I think the problem with the DMV is it's a long line.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't want to sit there and wait.
I mean, the better thing they could do is just like make firmer appointments. Right?
Yeah.
Like just, you know, lock in, you know, you do other stuff online. You're coming in you're in and out in 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So maybe you want to have like two like DMV appointment and then the general population DMV.
I mean, I honestly, have you ever sat at a DMV for like 2 hours? I feel like it's overrated how long you sit there.
I've sat at a DMV for 2 hours, definitely.
Yeah. I once went in and out the last time.
Did your wife go to the DMV for you, Akiva?
Oh, see, what are you trying to say? What are you trying to say?
I'm just asking.
People think that I can't. Pete Rob, people have this weird impression that I can't function for myself and I need people.
Yeah, I don't think that people can go to the DMV for maybe. You, really.
No, I had a very wealthy boss when I was in college
yes.
who used to pay someone to go to the DMV for him.
Hmm. Okay.
And I just had a form. I went once, I had a form. It was very boring. It was well before smartphones. It was before like iPods. It was insanely boring. So that was the only time I've had a bad experience at the DMV.
Yeah.
I brought like a book. Yeah. You know, there was that era between like Discman and iPods where you had no music options really.
Yeah. Maybe should we be setting up more DMVs? What if, could the DMV come to you? How about that?
That's not bad.
The mobile DMV.
Mobile DMV.
Yeah, I mean, I guess.
We don't want
but
these
that, again,
people driving around anyway.
But like, there's 500 people there a day. Like they'd get so much less done if they're driving to you.
What if we have a premium service?
Well, but now you're separate. I mean, Amanda will like this, but now again, you're just catering to the 1%.
It's not the 1% that I mean, there's so many other things that come to your house.
Uh-huh, that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, but like, yeah, I mean, I guess you could have like a DMV concierge or something.
The DMV is a great equalizer, though. I guess everybody except for Akiva's boss has to go for themselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, we could make some money for the state. Of like, I don't know, if it's $50 for your mobile DMV appointment, I think a lot of people would do it if we could sort of like get the overhead down. Like, I feel like we could be generating some tax money.
Yeah, no, I'm not against it, but I think just make it all online if we're being serious for a second.
Like, well, I think there's a lot of things you can't do online. I think we probably want to protect against fraud. You want to get people in person, take their picture.
I guess. I mean, I have glasses, so I need to get like a nurse's prescription every 5 years to renew my New York driver's license.
Mm-hmm.
And well, so
you have
annoying,
a current New York driver's license?
Yeah. I mean, it's an ID. Otherwise, I wouldn't have an ID when I walk around the U.S.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I'm gonna like go out into the bar and with a passport. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you need a current driver's license. Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, so it is annoying. So they really discriminate against glasses wearers who have to get the note, whereas 90-year-olds don't have to. Mm-hmm. No offense to like my grandfather, but like you know they don't have to renew their license with, you know, they don't have any restrictions. Yeah. I don't know the DMV. Just cancel it. Just let it. Just send
just
everybody
cancel
their license.
It.
Yeah, there's no real restrictions on bad drivers. So just let everyone have a license and send everyone a new license in the mail every 5 years.
Amanda, you're the voice of reason here. What are we doing with the DMV?
We can't cancel the DMV. So I got this the seed of an idea. What if there's some smartphone app and there's a game or there's a something that you can only play at the DMV with the other people who are there. So you get out your phone while you're at the DMV and you
yes.
play one of these like Animal Farm with some game with the other people that are there.
No.
And then it becomes an event.
It's bingo. Bingo at the DMV. What do you think of that?
My grandmother loves it.
Yeah.
I do like bingo at the DMV. I'm up for that.
You're sitting there, you're waiting, you're watching the other board. And maybe it's like you're not winning like money or stuff, but maybe like somebody's getting like $10 off your you know whatever form you have to fill out, or maybe snacks. Yeah, let's make
or
the snacks part of bingo.
Maybe you advance in line. Maybe your prize
oh, that's
is you
good.
Get
oh,
ahead in the line.
Yeah, one
yeah,
prize
you
advance.
Get, that's it.
I really like
you're,
the bingo.
You're waiting
bingo
in line, but if you get bingo, you go to the front of the line.
I like it.
So
the bingo DMV, I'm in.
Yes.
For.
Yeah. Oh, this is so
maybe,
good.
Maybe there's like Amazon, like, you know, there's advertisers and they give out prizes like $20 off gift cards okay. and things like that.
Right. Amanda, you are very civically active. How do we get bingo DMV to happen? Because I kind of feel like that it's the kind of thing like some city council person is going to say that and they're going to laugh. The career is going to be over.
Yeah, this is a state government level issue, right? So I think every state is operating their own mm-hmm. DMV or Department of Transit. So I think that this is maybe what we need is, you know, a grassroots organization to start lobbying. You know, I think that you pick one state, maybe it's you know, Nevada or a state that already you know,
does
has
like
kind
Keno,
of a gaming
right,
content.
Right,
yeah.
Yes.
So maybe you start there and it's such a successful model. People love it and it starts to spread to other states.
Okay. So I'm governor in. Of Nevada is whom? Okay. All right. The governor of Nevada, Steve Sisolak. Sure that nobody's trying to bother him about anything right now. Yeah. Is he active on Twitter?
I mean, he'd be happy to hear about something that's not the election, I'm sure.
Yeah. Steve Sisolak.
You
want to
tweet at him, what do you think about bingo DMVs?
Okay.
The whole RENAP community could launch into this social media campaign to get bingo DMVs in Nevada. Yes.
What about John Ralston? Can he help us with this?
Who's John Ralston again?
Big Nevada pollster.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So he's got nothing to do now. There's no elections.
Yeah, what's the sentiment on this?
That's true. Yeah, can we could we commission a poll for John Ralston? No offense to John Ralston, people don't know who he is. He's like the Nevada politics expert. Like once that was all decided, could not unfollow fast enough. Like he did myself. Like I don't need Nevada politics year round.
He seemed very knowledgeable.
Yeah. Oh, he's great. Every state should have a John Ralston.
Yeah.
But, I'll be back in 2020. I don't need John Ralston in the off season.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. But DMV bingo, I think, is really.
Yeah, I think that's one of our better ideas.
Yeah, I think we nailed this one.
Okay. Hypothetically, is the bingo idea, could we get this onto airplane boarding? Are there any other places where we're waiting in line where we might be able to maybe in the public sector we could integrate this faster and have proof of concept for the DMV?
I like what you're thinking, Rob. Airlines did come up as one of the suggestions that airlines need a rebrand too. But I think that the proof of concept in the private sector might be a good way to make the case.
Akiva, where else do you go that you have to wait for maybe a long time?
Well, yeah, you mentioned the airlines. I think like you could have maybe Long Island Railroad rides. You could have some bingo on that.
The train can't get here faster. You're waiting for the train. It's not like that you're waiting to see like a person at the window.
So what I'm trying to do is entertain ourselves while we're bored doing nothing for like 45 minutes to an hour. To get on board the LIR and maybe not in the morning where nobody wants to hear anything, but in the afternoon or rush hour.
I think that you are bringing you're turning like the train terminal into like an OTB.
Yeah,
at that point.
That's fine.
And you're bringing in like an element that I think they're trying to get out of the train terminal.
I've been in, Penn Station. Like it can only, it like, it, listen, I think the element is what the element is at this point.
Yeah,
an OTB is cleaner than Penn Station.
Can we bring it into the healthcare system?
How many people are really waiting in the average doctor's office now? Emergency rooms, then you're talking.
I was going to say maybe you could get Dr. Mike involved, and he could. I'm sure he would be willing to.
Hey, the number is 069. But what about a bakery, Akiva?
I don't hate it. I mean, have you ever waited more than 10 minutes at a bakery?
It depends if it's a good bakery, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't mind the bingo. I mean, I like the bingo system in general. I do think we should bring more fun into lines, so I'm with it. And like in general, we're bringing bingo back is what we're doing. Bingo. The kids today don't know bingo like we used to know bingo,
They know quarantine bingo, right?
What do you do in quarantine bingo?
No, all those RENAP bingo or all those.
Yes.
That kind of thing.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, I think that
we
this
got
is
something.
Brilliant. You guys have done great work with this one.
Okay. All right.
Okay. We're ready for the next one.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Plain yogurt.
Plain yogurt. Okay.
This is one of Taryn Armstrong's favorites.
Well, I think that Taryn, much like myself, I don't really like to talk about food, but that he is a fan of, I believe it is not just plain yogurt, but Greek yogurt.
Okay.
Which is also, Akiva, I don't know if you know this about me, I actually eat a lot of Greek yogurt.
Yeah, you do eat a lot of Greek yogurt. You've discussed it. I go through yogurt phase. I'll have yogurt every day for like a week and then not see it again for a year. It's like one of these things, like an option of last resort in the fridge. Like I'll eat a yogurt, then my wife will be like, oh, you know, hey, that was my son's, you know, snack for tomorrow. Oops.
Mm-hmm.
I don't, what is it about plain yogurt? Like I would have to put something in it. Why are we? It shouldn't be allowed. It shouldn't be legal to sell plain yogurt. So what are we doing to it?
It shouldn't be legal to sell it.
No, it's too boring. It would be like, I mean, it's like bung water, I guess. It's fine.
Yeah. Well, I will put it like, you know, I will like have it with cereal.
What do you prefer about plain yogurt that you can't get in a flavor of yogurt?
Well, the flavor, it tends to add a lot of stuff that you don't want.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of
like
sugar and calories.
Okay, so it's healthier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, I'm with Rob on this one. The plain yogurt, the plain Greek yogurt is also the most versatile. So you could like put it in a smoothie with whatever other flavors you want. You can actually use it as a sour cream substitute too. Like mm-hmm. you can put it on a taco or something. So it gives you more options of what you do than a flavored yogurt would.
Mm-hmm. So I don't really know what you can do too much with yogurt. I don't see a lot of upside here. Maybe let's put that off to the side and we'll come back.
We'll put that off to the side.
Plain yogurt. Plain Greek yogurt we could talk about, but just regular yogurt. I don't know how much what there is to do there.
How about cargo shorts?
Oh, see, I have long wanted to bring back the cargo shorts. I mean, it's become an easy thing to make fun of. Akiva, do you have any cargo pants?
I don't have cargo pants. But I do have cargo shorts. And I have cargo shorts, and then I have sort of cargo shorts without cargo pockets, if it makes sense.
Yes. Like, I feel like, how embarrassing. You have cargo pants. Like, oh, well, you know what? If I was a woman and I had a purse for all my stuff, that'd be great. But, you know, it's not socially acceptable for me to carry a purse. I have a lot of stuff.
Two pockets are not enough for your stuff?
Nope.
What are you carrying at a normal time? You're leaving the house. What is in your hands?
Well, first
or in
of
your
all,
pockets?
I mean, if I'm, maybe I need, you know, a Purell.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I might need that. Okay. You know, I got keys. I got a phone. I've got, you know, if I'm going to be out for a long time, maybe I need a charger for my phone.
Mm-hmm. Wallet.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of other stuff.
I mean, so you're saying you basically need a third pocket. Gum? I mean, how much space does gum take? Gum will go in your pocket.
Well, now my pockets are like are very full. AirPods.
Aren't those in your ears?
You need the case.
Yeah, that's true. Are ears head pockets? People have been asking.
Are ears head pockets? Yeah. That's a good question.
I mean, especially now, you could put your headphones in them, ear pods.
Mm-hmm.
I think
put it on the census.
Yeah.
So you need a third pocket. You don't need eight pockets. You need a third pocket.
I'd like to have the option to have another pocket. It was very convenient, but all of a sudden it's like, fashion police, you
it's
can't
true.
Have that anymore. Well, why not? Why is it bothering you?
When baggy pants, particularly baggy jeans, went out of style.
Yeah.
Like there was no function to them. Right? It was all like it was just style.
Yeah.
But cargo pants served a purpose. So you're saying it's upsetting that they're gone.
Why do I have to be fashionable for anybody?
It's true. Well,
am I single?
Like,
are people dating me? What do people
you might
care
become
about?
Single if you become a cargo pants guy.
Why? What is that? So like, you know, if there was some functional item that my significant other was wearing that I wouldn't mm-hmm. Cancel her because mm-hmm. like what? You have. You
so
have
then
that,
wear cargo that, pants. What is stopping you from wearing cargo pants?
Getting
then?
Mocked.
By whom?
Bullies.
Your wife?
Bullies.
You just said that.
Yes.
Your pants are usually not on camera, right? So who is seeing you in these pants?
The people in the comments.
The comments, but just make your pants not visible.
But I'm wearing them to leave the house.
Yeah, but then there's bullies on the street.
Sometimes.
You need to move neighborhoods where there's bullies making fun of your pants on the street.
It's socially acceptable to bully men about their cargo pants.
I know. Somebody did say to me recently, like, well, I bet you're a big cargo shorts guy. And it was like I was wearing cargo shorts at the time.
You would right.
Rob, so you said something about how, you know, why do you need to be fashionable? You're in a committed relationship. Right. Do you think that this is the angle that cargo shorts need to take, that I'm so secure in my relationship that I'll wear cargo shorts?
No, because it's my wife that's the leading the charge.
But you could say, honey, this is how comfortable I feel with our love that I'm willing to wear cargo shorts so I don't look attractive to any other woman.
I don't know. It's like, why is my stuff less important than yours? I have a lot of stuff.
I want to know, would your wife have any problem with you wearing cargo pants?
Yes.
Okay, but you said no. Like, now you're, you know what I
no,
mean?
She
now
would.
You're...
She would be the first person, like, cargo pants, you know, making fun.
You own a pair of cargo pants that you can't wear, or you don't have any more?
You know, I really don't have any that fit right now, but I do have cargo shorts. And one time, Corinne Kaplan was here and like openly, you just like laughed my, not even like on a podcast, just like laughed in my face.
Yeah. And if she can't be nice to you, I don't know who can. I think I have cargo shorts. Nobody makes fun. Nobody in my house makes fun of me, but I'm sure they're not fashionable.
Yeah.
Maybe the key is to get like really loud colors, and then it's like, oh, I'm making a statement. No. This is not like khaki cargo pants. I'm wearing yellow cargo pants.
I think here's what you can do with the cargo pants, because you have like the big cargo pocket. People are like, see it. But what if I had like sort of like a more like hidden pockets where
would they be?
Sort of like it's a zipper. That's more of like a flat pocket, not like the big bag. Like, first of all, I don't like the big baggy pocket, but like the buttons, because I feel like stuff can fall out. But what if I had more of like secret compartment where sort of like I can unzip on the leg and I can, you know, put my phone in there, put my headphones in there, put my wallet in there, put gum in there. And then just if it's there if I need it, especially when I travel, like I'm always like, oh, where's my boarding pass? You know, especially you got to go through the metal detector, put all your stuff in there and then put it all back. So I like having the options.
Yeah, I think I told the story before, but when I was going on a summer trip, like a camp trip overseas. After 10th grade, I had those snap pants. Do you remember the snap pants, Rob?
Mm-hmm.
And I like sort of warm up pants that like the Chicago Bulls would wear. And, you
sure,
know,
sure. Breakaway pants.
The breakaway pants. So I was wearing them. I guess that was what was in the time, or maybe I was just not cool. and I put my passport and a ticket, my plane ticket. And if you remember back in the day, like if you lost your plane ticket, you had to like pay to get a new one.
Yeah.
Back in the day.
It's just,
and I put the, I, instead of putting them in my pocket, I put them through one of the holes that was not a pocket in the snap pants. And luckily someone found them on the floor of like a Cinnabon and brought them back to me.
Yeah.
My passport.
This one really bothers me because it's like, oh, here's something that was convenient for you, but we've not only decided it's not socially acceptable, it's also that this, we get to mock you for this. If you have this thing, I'm like, oh, well, was it bothering you? Well, what do you care how many pockets I have on my pants? So sorry, this extra pocket bothered you.
Is there a scenario where you could mock?
No.
Your wife's clothing choices.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Sure. Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. That would work out great for me. Yeah. So I don't know, but I feel like if there was like, ooh, they're cargo pants, but nobody will, one will be able to tell.
Like a sleeker, more streamlined cargo pant. Yeah. You mentioned the travel thing, and they actually do market to women things like that they call travel pants or a travel dress that has like hidden pockets or you could put your stuff.
Yeah.
And it sounds fancy to be a traveler. You know, that's good. That's better than just wearing cargo shorts.
Akiva, what do you think of the name Conceal and Carry?
Sounds like it means something.
No, that's not good. It's not good.
Literally.
Okay.
I mean, honestly, there's a lot of gun carriers in the U.S. And
could we appeal to the gun owners of cargo
pants? We could
appeal
to the gun owners, but I don't. Are gun owners do gun people? Clearly not a gun person right here. Mm-hmm. Do any gun people carry their gun in their pocket?
I think that would be dangerous. I think that'd be not a great way.
Yeah, I don't know.
That.
I don't know anything about guns.
Yeah,
maybe we should have an episode where we learn all about guns.
Maybe not. Okay. But yeah, if we could sort of like streamline the pocket of to make it less noticeable to the people on Instagram. I think that would be really great. Yeah. That'd be a real great selling point. If you can tell me, like, hey, these are a great looking pair of slacks, and best of all, they have secret compartments that people won't be able to see in the comments. Like, oh, really? Go on.
Yeah, cargo pant is not, like, the cargo is not a good name. I think that's a problem.
Yeah, I like this. I like this idea. What?
Do you remember pocket protectors? That was like a big joke, like nerds would have pocket protectors.
Yeah, how many?
What are those, though? I feel like I
think that there were people that were carrying like a ballpoint pen in their front pocket, and then it would like the ink would bleed through onto your shirt, and you could put that into your front pocket, so you could put a ballpoint pen in there. But I put a pen behind my ear. I mean, I put a pen in my front pocket.
I can't even remember the last time I used a pen. Like, I don't think I own a pen.
What did you own any writing implements?
I mean, what do I have to write? Like, if I
what if
to
you
sign
think
something,
of something? What if you think of something that you don't want to forget?
I have a phone.
A phone?
Yeah. You don't write notes in your phone?
No, I don't write notes in my phone. I have like a million pieces of paper around here.
No, you wake up in the middle of the night, you have a notes app, and you write.
You write notes
phone.
To yourself on the phone? That doesn't keep you up?
I mean, a pen and paper, maybe like an inkwell and a scroll, and yeah.
What is this great inspiration that's coming to you in the middle of the night?
I don't have any. I'm just saying, there's no scenario. I don't think I've just touched other than maybe
just
this isn't due homework.
This. Notes, okay. Album podcast, Kiva's albums weekly, The Cars episode 1.
I think it would be more of an artist. I don't think we'd look at one album. I think it would be like one artist a week. I think that with the like, I don't. The only time I've ever used a pen or pencil in the last bunch of years is my kids' homework is still very pen and pencil oriented, right?
Yeah.
So I'll help them with that. But other than that, I have not like signed something. It's on an iPad, an e-signature. Like I'm not.
I feel like
touching a pen or pencil.
That would only help this podcast if we got you a pen and a pad. And then every time you say that, oh, yeah, okay, I'll put that poll out on Tuesday, you wrote down on the paper.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
I do have stickies. I have post-its. Like post-its.
But what do you write on them?
I have right here, I'm holding them, rustling it up here. I mean, the thing is, I don't personally own a single pen or pencil, but we have hundreds of pens and pencils. I'm sure within my arm range, I could find a pen or pencil right here that my kids use for homework.
Yeah.
Anytime. So going forward, this is you put it in the Constitution. Anytime I need to do something during the week, like post a Twitter poll or remember to ask someone about a form for the podcast, I will write it on pen and paper, and that's how I'll remember it. And I will leave it right here on my desk.
I have so many pens, and then I lose them all. I don't know where do the pens go. I don't leave.
Yeah, when you move
where
out, you find
the pens.
Because I just moved out. You find the pens. The pens and the coins are all there. We made so. I mean, my son took it all. His rule in the house is that if there's a coin that he sees, it's his.
Fine.
Take all the coins. So when we moved out, he made like hundreds of dollars just like in the couch cushions. Not like, but I mean, there was hundreds of coins. There were so many coins he found.
Okay. All right, Amanda. What else do we have?
Okay.
Did we solve the cargo pants?
I think we made some progress.
I just feel like I'm opening myself up to more comments of like, oh, nice cargo pants, asshole.
Leave Rob alone, everyone. Yeah. He's been through enough.
Yeah.
Okay. This one might also be a sensitive spot here, but we're all in this together. So boomers, can we rebrand boomers?
Yeah. I think we just got to wait until the people that say boomers are 43 years old.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When
that'll
they get
end
older,
it pretty quick. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, my problem
give it like 10 more years. Like, whoa. We didn't mean like that old.
Yeah, but they'll also like blame the millennials for everything at that point. Like they'll be blaming the me's of the world.
Yeah.
They won't even care about the boomers anymore.
My problem with like getting roped into being a boomer is I don't care if people call me old. I just don't want to be associated with the boomers. I'm fine with being old, but I'm not a boomer, technically speaking. Do you think boomers need a rebrand, or do you think that this is just going to run its course?
I think that the boomers need to embrace it. Like, I think that where boomers then get offended if you call them boomers, like, I think that the boomers need to be, you're damn right. Like, I think that just they need to, like, run with it.
Yeah, because boomers
boom,
are
boom,
doing
pow.
Great.
Yeah. Yeah. The Legion of Boomer. What do you think of that, Akiva?
That's not bad. Legion of Boomer isn't bad.
I mean,
it is weird because it's really like the last year or two, like the OK Boomer thing.
Yeah.
Nobody was really like blaming them for all the world's problems and hating them until recently.
Maybe earlier than that.
Mm-hmm.
Probably like 4 years, I think.
The boomers, they have their own problems. I don't know. Do we really need to help them?
Yeah. I mean, we give advice to people. If you don't like the term boomer, then I think that you just I think you run with it. That this is like bullying 101. If you get offended when someone calls you a name, stop getting offended by the name, and people will come up with something else. They'll find a new name that hurts your feelings more. But let them go back to the drawing board. Ball's in their court.
Yeah, let them. Yeah, rebrand yourselves.
Yeah,
we're too busy dealing with your problems.
It'll
already.
Take
I
them
agree
weeks to find a different name that'll be as catchy.
Yeah, well, they're gonna have to hire some young people to help them with the PR, but I think that's possible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that for people calling what I guess Amanda, what about for people that are not boomers who get called boomers by people? I don't know if it necessarily like, yeah, you're right, I am a boomer. I don't know if that's going to work, Akiva.
Not sure. I don't know.
Do you need to counter back with a name for young people that are calling you a boomer?
Yeah. I mean, the problem with me is I'm you know, as the elder spokesman for my generation, the millennials.
Yeah.
Like, Amanda, you don't consider yourself a millennial, do you?
I consider myself a millennial. Cusper, a millennial Gen X cusper.
Because I'm famously the world's oldest millennial.
And you're famously younger than me.
Yeah, both those things are true.
Yeah. I mean, for me, that I am 42 years old, but like compared to other people that are my age, like I'm very immature. I often like am not dressed like an adult. And like I feel like that I'm in, you know, better shape than a lot of people I went to high school with.
Look at this guy flexing on everybody, Amanda.
So, I mean, that sure. But it's just a number.
I first of all, am I an old 37 or am I young 37 or a regular 37?
I mean, how do you feel?
You can answer honestly.
How do you feel?
I mean, I feel like I spend a lot of my time on the internet with like 30-year-olds.
Yeah, playing,
you know,
video,
I mean,
games. Yeah, sure.
Well, that's true.
So,
part of me is very old. Like, I do have, you know, a kid who's turning 15 next month. That's old.
Yeah.
But then I'm, you know, I have like childlike hobbies still. The same things I liked when I was 7 years old, I still like now. Twizzlers and sports.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I feel like that you're... again, people are just trying to be mean, get a rise out of you.
Can I suggest one from the spreadsheet that I like?
Yeah, go ahead.
This is for Rob, I think, but this is up Rob's alley. How would you
it's not
PR
bowling,
fix
is it?
No. How would you fix Skype? They blew it. The biggest
so
lead
bad.
In technology history. They had Zoom, you know, and everybody, nobody knew Zoom. Yeah. They had Zoom and everyone. They could have been a $1 trillion company at this point. I literally just like as the podcast started, I saw like I had the Skype thing open. We even you and I, who use Skype for 7 years, I haven't opened it in months. Skype is almost dead. How would you save Skype?
So I first got on Skype, I think it was 2008, when I first got on Skype, and to my eye, Skype is exactly the same in 2020 as it was in 2008. I'm sure the connections have gotten a little bit better, but it's the exact same product that you do video call, you do an audio call, everything is the same. Somehow, Zoom jumped in like nobody had ever heard of Zoom, other than if you were on like some like sales conference. And then all of a sudden in March, everybody, Zoom, I'm on Zoom, get on Zoom, where Zoom sort of just became like ubiquitous for teleconferencing. I think what their killer app was, if I had to really put my finger on it, is that you could send a link to your Zoom call and then people could just join it, as opposed to on Skype, I have to know your Skype name and call you on Skype. So for one, you could, you know, just copy that. I don't know if that's the proprietary technology of Zoom, that you could make a link of send out the link to my Skype, but I don't know, what could they be doing differently? I mean, they're backed by Microsoft. Zoom even,
you can't even say like Zoom, you know, obviously overall it's been a massive hit, but like they messed that up. Like there were so many Zoom bombings and
it's not even that great, Zoom.
No, it's not great. It's it's fine. It's a fine. Functional product.
Yeah. So what could I do with, you know, boy, and you could just call in on your phone. I don't know. Amanda, do you have any thoughts on what could Skype be doing?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, you're right. Zoom totally came out of nowhere. I agree that it's, you know, it's a lot. I think you're totally right that the whole, like, you had to sign up for Skype and have a Skype name. It's like you couldn't just, I could, like, send a link to my mom and she can figure out how to get on a Zoom. But there is definitely room for improvement in the video conferencing game. So I don't know what Skype could be doing to get back in it.
What about, could they make it easier to bring other media into it, Akiva? Could it be easier to sort of like bring in like a game or like something that you are like streaming and watching with other people?
I almost think Skype should have sold themselves to something like YouTube, where, you know, Google could have figured it out. Because Google honestly has shockingly struggled with, you know, Hangouts weren't a big hit. They have, you know, I always get this update now on Gmail that you know, Hangouts are now meetings or whatever it is.
Forget it. I'm not doing
Nobody has ever sent me, you know, we've been trapped in our houses for 9 months. I haven't been sent one Google meeting, you know? Mm-hmm. So I wonder if Skype could have handed themselves off and teamed up with Google and figured something out.
Yeah. What about this? Could they stream from Skype where that, you know, it's, you know, not the easiest thing in the world to do streaming. Could they, you know, make Skype more into, okay, like we can go like live to YouTube, live to Twitch?
Yeah, that's a good idea. I mean, in Zoom in general, they don't really do that, right?
You can do that. It's not the easiest thing in the world to do.
Yes. I haven't seen really any of it. Now, 99% of Zooms would be unwatchable and boring and you know, or not for public consumption. But I do think that should be an option.
And
it
does
should be
Zoom
easy to, like,
even filter? Do you even filter, bro?
Yeah.
Okay. Akiva, for you, could they integrate some sort of like a gaming into Skype where like you get on a Skype call and you're in like an Among Us game or some other?
Yeah, I think that would work. I think in general, you know, a game like that where when we play, if you play Among Us or any similar game, you're playing, like if you want to play with your friends, you have to do all the work yourself, right? You're making a Zoom. You're doing it on a Discord and you're setting it up. There's no, you know, like the games don't have functionality. So yeah, if a Zoom or a Skype jumped in there, that would be, you know.
Yeah. And it's all Microsoft. Maybe that you could, you know, I don't know what the top Xbox games are going, like Call of Duty, that you just like set up a Skype call with everybody that you're playing that with. But I think that maybe there's something there with sort of like the online gaming and then incorporate that into Skype.
What if you took Among Us and like two other hot games and you built up like exclusive distribution for, you know, you could have 10 people, everyone in the game be on Skype and see each other and hear each other, but you have to be on Skype there. So you have every 16-year-old in the country downloading Skype to play the game.
Yeah. So I think that this is all good. I don't know how funny this is, so maybe we should move on to the next. What about, could you combine Skype and OnlyFans? Could they have a partnership?
I mean, that's something.
Yeah.
That's not bad.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Amanda, what else?
Let's see. And Akiva, if there's any from your email or anything else that you saw that you're interested in, just feel free to jump in mm-hmm. with that. Let's see. Castles.
Oh, okay.
What do you guys think about castles?
Castles.
Could we bring, and it doesn't have to, and I think that this submitter specified that they don't have to be like actual castles where kings and queens live, but just buildings that look like castles.
Yeah. What about White Castle? Now, Akiva had that not kosher, right? White Castle.
Not kosher.
Yeah.
Never been in a White Castle.
Hmm. Okay. The White Castle is good, but I feel like that they have fallen on hard times. I feel like they're not doing super great. I feel like that, Amanda, the castle is a little garish for 2020.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's probably more, a lot of the architecture now is much more kind of minimalist and simple. I mean, it's probably a lot more expensive and involved to construct a castle, versus a more modern building. Could we sort of bring that look back and what would be a good thing to have in a castle shaped building aside from a hamburger restaurant?
Right. Keeb, are you a castle guy?
I mean, I'm not, but I'm willing to be one. Do you know what I mean? I haven't spent a lot of time in castles. I would like to build a castle. Is there a way to make modern, trendy castles?
Okay. How about this? Could we build a sports arena that was a castle? Like the Sacramento Kings, where do they play?
They play in the castle. Their arena is called the castle.
Is it shaped like a castle?
No, I'm just messing with you. That's probably named after some dumb company.
Yeah, I also feel like, there is the Excalibur in Las Vegas across the street from where Carrot Top plays, but I think it's one of the crappier casinos, with all due respect.
Mm-hmm. There's a Magic Castle in L.A., right? Isn't that like the popular Magic place in L.A.?
Yeah, Magic Place. But I don't know how, if it's truly, I got to take a look at the picture of it.
Is it actually a castle?
Yeah.
Have you ever been, would you live in a castle, first of all?
I feel like it'd be very cold.
Are castles cold?
I feel like they're, first of all, I think it's hard to heat a castle. You have a lot of, have torches everywhere. It's often just made of stone.
Why can't you put any technology roomy. In the castle?
Oh, so you want a modern day castle. So it's
we want a modern trendy castle.
Is there a moat?
We're building the castle.
I think you need to have a moat. I mean, that's half the fun of a castle.
Yeah, but there's no alligators in the moat. Maybe in the moat there's what could be in the moat?
Robots.
You have robots?
Boston Dynamic alligators. Yeah. I don't know if the castle is going to come back.
Someone suggested casseroles. Would you rather bring back castles or casseroles?
What kind of casserole?
General.
Yeah.
Could we rebrand casserole to be a more appetizing name?
What's the number one casserole?
I like tuna casseroles.
Tuna casserole.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there's the green. We're coming off of Thanksgiving. There's the green bean casserole.
Green bean casserole. Right. That's not my thing.
A casserole is a variety of large, deep pan or bowl. So the casserole refers to the dish,
right?
More than the actual type of.
Technically, a lasagna would be a casserole because you cook it in that casserole dish.
Yeah. Okay, I'm looking at 75 best casserole recipes.
Woo. Tier list Tuesday. Wait, hold on. So the only difference between a casserole and a stew is that the casserole goes in the oven and the stew goes on the stove.
I feel like that there's a lot more cheese in a casserole than a stew.
So you're saying casseroles are more cheesy and stews are more meaty.
I mean, but it seems like the definition of the casserole is that it gets, it is the pan that you cook it in. But I think traditionally, and Amanda, correct me if I'm wrong, I feel like that there's a lot more cheese in a casserole than a stew.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of casseroles use cheese as a binder. It melts things together. But you can definitely have a dairy-free casserole, certainly. Well,
let me ask you something.
Yeah.
Is the issue with the word casserole If we came up with a better word, would it automatically become a more popular food? Wouldn't you want, let's say you like tuna casserole. It's objectively not a nice sounding name.
Yeah, but I think the tuna is more the problem than the casserole.
Okay, fine. Well, but the green beans also. Maybe we're putting the wrong things in casseroles. Tuna and green beans are not popular. What if there was like a meat casserole, but we didn't call it meat casserole. It's called something different.
What would you call it?
Because like, if you think about it, it's not that much different other than shape with, say, a pot pie. And everyone would love a pot pie.
Now, pot pie denotes a crust.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I do think
there's crust on the outside of a casserole. Casseroles have a crust.
The name, I think, is a sticking point. Casserole is not, not an appealing sounding name.
What can we flip the name? How can we punch up the name casserole?
Well, I almost feel like, could you use the word lasagna?
So it's just like, let's say it was that's very confusing. It's almost like our American salami for bologna. Like,
what would you call it?
We do like, well, what about, it's an American lasagna.
An American lasagna.
American anything. It's good.
Like, I don't know. Like, what other word could you use to describe a tray?
Could we make up a new word, possibly?
Not sure on the spot. Maybe we could turn that over to the listeners.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you that I've served my kids something that I called a lasagna that wasn't exactly like lasagna, and they were not happy about it.
It has to be exactly a lasagna.
Kids like lasagna. I don't know. I'm not sure why. I do think lasagna is an overrated food, but kids do like it.
I think it's an overrated food also because I feel like it's just like most Italian food. I feel like it's like the same four things. It's like I feel the same way about Mexican food of like it's the same four ingredients. You're just like mixing it up differently. And that, I feel like that there's 10 Italian dishes, the same exact thing as lasagna. R.I.P. my mentions. Let's go back to talking about cargo pants. What? Baked ziti is nothing like lasagna.
I like this from Jake. Rob doesn't like talking about food. So Rob, you could veto talking about this if you want. The celery that comes with wings, can you replace it with anything else to make it more appetizing? Does anybody eat the celery that comes next to wing?
Yeah, what's that for? Like the wing is so hot that you eat the celery?
I don't know. It's almost like a napkin. Like you rub, like your hands are messy and you like wipe them on the celery.
It's
if you don't
to
have
finish off the blue cheese dipping sauce when you're done
so
with
it's
the wings.
So it's a vehicle for the sauce.
Yeah. Akiva, now, are you a buffalo wing guy?
Love wings. I love wings. It's one of my favorites.
Okay. Yeah. I am not super into the spicy foods, and also I am not a blue cheese person.
Well, I don't eat blue cheese either.
Yes,
like the kosher reason,
right? So,
there's non-spicy wings. I do agree. Like the celery is very unnecessary. Like any food would be better. If you had like three little potato squares or French fries, that would be much more popular.
I don't need the celery in anything. Could we fix celery?
Yeah, we could like maybe just get rid of celery. Like no more celery.
Yeah, maybe if you had peanut butter on it.
On the wings or just in general? Celery should come with peanut butter, you're saying.
No. I feel like that Amanda, can you come up with any other uses for celery?
Well, I mean,
put
you
it
know,
in a Bloody
celery,
Mary.
Okay, yeah, you put it in a Bloody Mary. Celery is it's a key component of Thanksgiving cooking. I feel like it's, goes in the stuffing. It goes in, sometimes it goes around the turkey. I think celery is very useful. It's a very common, I think that it gets a bad rap because it's like on the raw veggie crudité platter. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of not as good as the carrots.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that's celery's biggest problem is that it's always like the blandest raw vegetable amongst like other raw vegetables.
The blandest raw vegetable. Something that's very stringy also.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Kiva, what if you could like use it for anything else, the celery?
Well, what would you use it for? Could it be like a pen?
I don't think it could be a pen. What about maybe a paintbrush? Could your kids, how about this? What if you lose those wooden things for Scrabble? Could you use celery to put your tiles in?
That's not a bad idea. Listen, I want to make clear. I don't hate celery. I nothing celery.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, it's fine if I
it's
accidentally
worse than
eat
that.
A celery.
It'd be better if you hated it. You're just
You'd rather be hated than
could
just
we
nothing.
Get people to hate celery if it's better to hate it than to not care about it?
Mm. How would we get people to hate it, though? Like, an aggressive ad campaign promoted yes. from, like, the celery growers?
Yes.
I feel bad. Like, people get up in the morning and they pick apples or they, you know, deal with other fruits and vegetables. And at mm-hmm. least they know. It's a very hard job. But they probably know, like, you know what? Someone is going to enjoy this tomato. The celery pickers of the world, they have to know. They're doing one of the most thankless jobs in the world.
All right.
Because what?
I know. I've got it. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
All right. We make a trip to Las Vegas. Okay. Mm-hmm. We pull up to the Luxor. We go up to the penthouse. We sit down with a big meeting with Scott Thompson and a bottle of green hair dye, celery top.
It's not bad.
I love it.
Rebranding. Carrot Top is now celery top.
Yes.
Just witness a moment of brilliance.
Things.
Yes. Yes, like, oh, like, that will, like, all the media outlets will report, this just in, Carrot Top is now celery top.
You think all the media outlets are reporting this?
Yeah, not for anything.
It's like the main story.
Yeah. I mean, it makes, just as much sense because that, I mean, the top of a carrot is green to begin with. So mm-hmm. you could say this is an even more pure Carrot Top, but no, he now rebrands celery top.
Yeah, I know. I'm there. I think, mm-hmm.
And you think
like,
this would help celery or hurt celery?
Yeah. I just wonder who you're hurting more.
I think
more
it helps Carrot Top more because I think the people are like, no, it's like when we did a Conspirapod with Antonio and they mm-hmm. changed old Coke to new Coke and like right, no, right. He can't be celery top. He's always been Carrot Top. Bring it back.
And maybe the angry audience purchase celery to bring to his events and throw it at yeah. him in
That's
protest.
Not bad.
Either
like,
that,
nobody gets
yeah.
hurt by the celery.
Or they hate celery so much that at least now we have a strong feeling about celery.
I do like him switching his name a lot. You know, Snoop did it and mm-hmm. he did it. Like it brings you, it puts you in the news every year or two when you switch your name.
Yeah.
Carrot Top should be switching his name.
So I think that's, if anything, we've unlocked the Carrot Top thing.
Mm-hmm. I like the idea from Allison, Dave Coulier. Could you bring back Dave Coulier?
I don't think so.
Is he done?
Yeah.
He had a good run.
He had a run?
He had a good run. Like, I think with the Alanis Morissette stories, I think he mm-hmm. had like a little bit of a
mm-hmm.
right
resurgence. I don't know if good or bad, but yeah. I don't think there's much we can do there.
Rob, Wendy wants to bring back clowns. Are you okay with
nope.
that? Or are you completely out?
No, I'm out.
You're out on clowns?
Out. Yeah.
Scott Yeager.
Yes.
Shout out to all the Challenge podcasts coming back mm-hmm. this week. MTV The Challenge, Allie's and Matt's and Scott's. Scott says, what about bringing back collecting?
Collecting what?
Yeah. So he says.
Like phone calls?
You know, collecting stuff. The idea of having a lot of stuff used to be cool. But now with Hoarders and Marie Kondo, the guy in the 40-year-old virgin painting adult toy, I don't know, something, whatever he's saying, that it needs a PR makeover. Let's go back to having awesome memorabilia collections, game rooms, toy displays. As kids, you want it. As adults, you could finally afford it. But now you get flack for having it. What do you think about collecting stuff?
No, I don't think collecting is coming back because it used to, in a pre-eBay internet world, that collecting meant something. Now it just means mm-hmm. that you have a credit card.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
There's no work involved.
There's no work.
I didn't think about it.
That's somebody that eBay's already found everything. You're just going on there and giving them the money.
Yeah, I mean, I've never really collected it. I did have sports cards, but I don't think you were collecting sports cards so much as you were like
mm-hmm.
getting them to try and get the good ones, right? And you knew they had some sort of resale value.
Amanda, do you collect anything?
I do not collect anything. I'm sort of a minimalist when it comes to the amount of stuff
so
in our
jealous.
House.
Love it. So jealous.
Love it. Me too. I'm a minimalist too.
Yeah.
I live with a lot of maximalists though.
I hate all the stuff.
I hate the stuff
I wish
too.
We had no stuff.
Anti-stuff podcast.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Since day one on Seinfeld, it's true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It would be like a dream if I woke up one day and somebody just robbed us and took all the stuff. I'm like, oh my God.
I agree. Rob, yeah. If we were married, there would be no stuff. We'd have each have a laptop and some tech equipment. That would
be it. Well, so I want no stuff, but I also hate to waste or throw things out. So I'm sort of like,
so it
I wish I
like
had nothing.
You complain about the stuff, but you're part of the problem in your house.
I'm probably yeah, I can admit that.
I'm not a psychologist like the other person on this call. But that's what I'm here.
Yes.
You got it right, Akiva. You nailed it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I'll throw out anything. You want to go tip top toes with me throwing out stuff? I'll throw out everything.
No, because it drives, like, if there was like some like wire or dongle that I had at one point and then I threw it out, it would kill me.
I also don't want to throw out wires, but I also don't think wires take up a lot of room. I think that's like everyone keeps their wires. I don't think that's so bad. I agree with you. Sometimes I like when we moved, I almost threw stuff at my wife's like, no, we actually needed it. And we did need it.
It would destroy me if I threw something out and then I realized I needed it after.
I'm with you. But here's what I say to my wife and my mother-in-law and all these hoarders or hoarder wannabes out there. You will never in your life say, man, I wish I had that pair of pants. Or I wish I had that skirt, right? The same way you say it with the dongle, you know?
Yes.
So just throw it out. Like, there's never, and like, not to be crass, but it's wonderful to give things away to charity. A lot of times you call up charities and say, hey, I have all this clothing. They don't want it. And this isn't true everywhere. But a lot of times, like, people, they have more clothing than they could possibly handle. And nobody wants your junk. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, if you're giving away good stuff, I'm sure they'll take it.
I try to give things away. I feel bad about just throwing out perfectly good things, but
I try to give things away too. And this is even like pre-pandemic that I had, I called like the rescue mission, which is locally here, and they come to your house and pick stuff up. And I had all this stuff for them. And they said, no, we're only taking this much of the stuff. Like, but I have all this stuff. They say, we have to call us to come back another day. They would only take 10 things.
Yeah, they don't make it easy.
Yeah.
With the stuff also, we were very big. Well, like the second or third episode of the Seinfeld podcast, I endorse throwing out your books. Like, if you're not going to resell them, you could give them away. Put them on the street somewhere. Put them by a bus
stop. Can you at least recycle the books?
Of course. You could do whatever you want. But do not keep them in your house. Like, take your 10 favorite books that you're going to reread. God bless you. Keep them. If you look at a book and you say, I'm never going to read that book, either ask a friend if they want it or donate it somewhere or throw it in the garbage if it's old. Like,
yeah,
it's all about you, the books. Looking smart. Someone comes over. Ooh, look at this guy. He knows how to read.
Well, like, I mean, if you have a bookshelf, you know, you think you do need books.
Get rid of your bookshelf then. Again, we're minimalists here. We're getting rid of everything today.
Yeah. You're getting rid of too much stuff. I feel like this is how you end up podcasting.
See,
laying
is,
down. Yeah.
You well, that was because I moved. You just claimed, Amanda, 10 minutes ago, Rob claimed to be a minimalist and to want to get rid of stuff. But anytime I suggest throwing something out,
first off,
physically pains it.
I did not claim to be a minimalist. I claimed that if I woke up one day and someone stole all my stuff, I would be so happy because it would not be me who got rid of all the stuff. Yeah. Okay. I would be able to say, oh man, I wish I had that dongle if somebody didn't steal it from me. It wouldn't be me admitting my own mistake of, I can't believe I threw that out. I needed it. Somebody stole it.
No, I like it.
That's what I want.
I hear what you're saying. I get what you're saying. You can't do it, but if someone did it, you'd be fine with it.
Mm-hmm. Leave my wife's wedding ring and the computer that I podcast, and everything else is yours.
I agree. You get to protect. It's like an expansion draft. You'll protect 10 things.
We'll start over.
We'll start over. We'll bring a new team.
Please, I hope you like Legos.
It's true. It is true.
Okay. Should we do lightning round?
My rule with my family is, if you lost it, would you need to replace it? If the answer is no, get rid of it.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning, like, yes, if you lost your laptop, you need to replace it. If you lost that t-shirt, you wouldn't need a new t-shirt. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Or a game.
Yeah.
And then just get rid of it.
Oh, I mean, my wife is making 4 new t-shirts a day. She's making new t-shirts faster than we can wear them.
Well, then you should be. Here's I say this rule. And again, I have no authority or power in my house. So they look at me. I'm like, I'm like an ombuds person, not like I usually who does have power for like Like, what was the public liaison or whatever it was like? I think de Blasio used to be it, where like they just say things and no one actually listens to them. Mm-hmm. Like they have no formal power in New York City. I'll pass decrees and everyone laughs at me, including the 3-year-old in this house. But I will say things like, here, new rule, one in, one out. You buy a shirt, you throw out a shirt. You buy a book or a game, you give away a game to your friend or you throw it out.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone's like, okay. And the little kids probably start crying. Like, why is daddy so mean? And then my wife whispers like, don't worry, he has no authority. Like,
oh yeah. Yeah. I get that. You don't have to listen
this
to
guy's
what he
not
says.
In charge. Well, I'll get rid of him in 2 seconds.
He's going upstairs in a minute. Don't listen to him. Like in the Wizard of Oz, when oh, she has no power here in Munchkin Land.
Yeah. Yeah, that's us. We're in Munchkin Land, baby. All right, Amanda, you want a lightning round it?
Yeah, let's do a lightning round. Okay, from prolific commenter Dan Sinensky, juice concentrate.
Is it like frozen orange juice?
Frozen orange juice concentrate.
Boy, I feel like it would go well with hard liquor.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you could nobody's like taking the frozen juice out to make like the pitcher of orange juice. But I wonder, Amanda, if you guys could get back to entertaining, I feel like that maybe with spirits, maybe they could be marketing to more of like the party throwing crowd.
Right, right. Maybe a quarantini recipe that uses orange juice juice concentrate.
Yeah, the problem is with, I feel like a lot of people are making like single serve drinks right now. Right. But maybe once we get back to like maybe the tie in with Corona for the big Cinco de Mayo party, mm-hmm. When we're back, maybe get these juice concentrate in the with the liquor.
Okay, great. Any comments on that one, Keith?
Yeah, and if you have the word concentrate in it, it's just not going to be a big seller. You need a better name for it. We need to change the name.
Mm-hmm.
Super juice.
I'm in.
Extreme juice. Super juice.
Yeah. Akiva, are you a pulp guy or no pulp?
I'm no pulp. I am firmly no pulp.
Big pulp guy. Love the pulp.
I used to go to, when I would go to my grandpa and Steph Grandma's house, they would have two different orange juices. They'd be like, all right, Akiva, you're like the no pulp guy. Go down to the basement.
Mm-hmm.
Get the no pulp at. Like, it was such a big deal.
My wife is anti-pulp. Makes things very complicated.
Mm-hmm. Also, pulp can fly. I don't know if you know that, Rob.
Yeah.
Should we go on to the next
yes,
one?
Yes, please.
Sure.
All right. So, yo-yos.
I saw Slinkies also.
Slinkies also came up. We can go with either of those classic toys. What do you think? Are those ready for a comeback?
Do your kids have a single yo-yo or slinky, Rob? Because my kids have a million toys and I don't remember seeing a yo-yo or a slinky.
The problem with the yo-yo is that my kids can't. They get them, they're excited, and then they like do the thing, it goes down, they can't get it back up. I think they have like some sort of like maybe they have like a retractable yo-yo. I feel like that's already a thing, but maybe if we can sort of like improve the technology of like the self rewinding yo-yo, because my kids like to drop the yo-yo, but then they don't have like the hand-eye coordination to get it to come back up. So I don't know. Maybe we could have like a self-winding motor in these yo-yos. And as far as the slinky goes, other than knock it down the stairs, I don't know really what else you're doing with the slinky. I feel like that they end up like tied up in a knot. Get rid of the plastic slinky. Whoever thought of that one, that's garbage, the plastic slinky. Yeah, but even the metal one ends up in a ball after 10 minutes.
Slinkies don't last a day. They're always deformed or broken. You never should I throw this out? It's like 10% broken. The yo-yos don't break, but I do think they're just not interesting. Like, yo-yos existed when they were the only entertainment in the world. Now it's like, are you going to do a yo-yo or go on TikTok for 2 hours? Like, no one's playing with a yo-yo.
What if the bottom of the yo-yo was sort of like rubberized, where it could like hit the ground and sort of bounce back up?
That would be more fun. I think if we gave our sons, like our 3-year-olds, yo-yos tomorrow, I don't know if we'd get 20 seconds out of the yo-yo.
Yeah. You know, it's even worse than the yo-yo. You know that ball with it's on the paddle with
the paddle ball. Yeah.
Has anybody ever like done that twice in a row?
Again, these are things that were fun in 1964, but now don't need to exist. They should stop making them.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
Okay. Irredeemable. Are we ready for the next one?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Potpourri. Do you guys have a take on potpourri?
Potpourri, the flower scent, or just the idea of potpourri?
So I'm thinking, like, I don't know. I feel like I used to see this at, like, a relative's house would be, like, a dish in the bathroom with, like, the dried wood chips and petals, and it would be a scented thing. They, mm-hmm. It seems like they've sort of been replaced with other kind of room fresheners or scented candles.
Aromatics.
Is potpourri something that should have a comeback?
Kiba, you have a feeling about potpourri?
No, I think potpourri is, like, in the same... There should be a museum of the 80s with the slinky and the yo-yo and potpourri.
Yeah.
But these things are officially dead. Like, you have to stop selling them. Hmm. We're done with potpourri.
I feel like there could be a Goop potpourri that people would get into. I feel like I could see Gwyneth Paltrow bringing a potpourri back, you know, that kind of seems like in that wheelhouse of that kind of brand.
Okay. All right. Could we combine the popularity of legalized marijuana and mm-hmm. have a potpourri where people could, who, you know, are really excited about their marijuana usage, could mm-hmm. they sort of like have it out as look at my potpourri?
Well, I'll say this is a weird take because I don't smoke marijuana, but I like the smell of it. So what if
this is weird in your alley.
What if you just sprayed marijuana and people are like, hey, you guys having a good time? Like, nope, you just sprayed marijuana.
People would come to your house, they would think that you were sort of like, oh, there's a party. Yeah, look at this guy.
Yeah, just spray it.
Like, now I know why you're listening to albums all day long. Podcasting. Potpourri.
For so long, the name of the game was disguising the smell of marijuana.
Now it's legal. that it's legal and you flaunt it. Look at my potpourri. That's how it's spelled.
Good.
That's how it's spelled.
Yeah, it's true.
Think about it.
Okay, great work on that one. Mm-hmm. Laffy Taffy.
Send it to a podcaster and then they'll read the jokes. Yeah.
Hold on. I got to write it down. I never DM them. I'm writing it.
Yeah,
this is good.
Here, let me see. I have like a half opened one here. That
DM Laffy Taffy asking them if they will come on the podcast and let us write jokes for Laffy Taffy.
It's too sticky. Like half the time my kids open them and like they can't get the paper off of it.
Partially because it was in a box for months. Probably. That's probably why.
Akiva, what's a taco's favorite dance?
Taco's favorite dance? What?
Salsa.
No, nice.
It's a good one, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Has the structure of a joke.
Yeah. Yes. Let's see. And then the other one that my kid opened, this one, something about lunchtime because it was fast food. Can we improve Laffy Taffy? I'm not sure. Could they not make it be taffy?
What if there was adult Laffy Taffy? Like Laffy Taffy, it would be weird for like an adult to walk around eating like one of those big sticks of Laffy Taffy.
Yeah.
Could we make it more adult friendly?
So you want adult friendly, like you want like a... adult humor joke on the Laffy Taffy.
Oh, that's not a bad idea. I wasn't thinking. Well,
what were you going for?
I like maybe different colors, you know, maybe a different shape. A circle?
A circle would be more of an adult shape than the current shape of Laffy Taffy?
Than just a giant stick, I think. So. Like, maybe square?
Is it a sphere or is it just like a flat circle like time?
What if it's a square? What if it's like a giant square Laffy Taffy?
I mean,
it's already a
rectangle.
That's true.
Like a cube?
A cube. I want a cube. A Laffy Taffy cube.
A cube of Laffy Taffy. I feel like, how would you like get your...
You just take a bite out of it and you're like, leave it on your desk at work as you're eating your Laffy Taffy cube. Maybe cut into it with a knife.
What if we went with like a different direction in terms of the flavors? Could we go with maybe more savory flavors?
Yeah, that's not a bad idea. Adult flavors, savory flavors. Like, what do you have in mind?
Laffy jerky.
All right, I'm in already.
You like that?
Pickles.
Yeah. Pickles.
Oh, Yeah. What? Black licorice.
No, now we're out.
No, we're out.
Crazy. Yeah. Hmm.
Is there any other words that rhyme with Laffy and Taffy?
The black licorice could hang out with the yellow Laffy Taffy and they could have a party.
Black licorice? It'd be like for the Steelers games?
Well, no. The black licorice and the banana Laffy Taffy are like the least popular, you know.
Yeah, but you don't die from banana Laffy Taffy unless you choke.
I mean, I'm sure if you ate like all of the banana Laffy Taffy they sent you at once, you'd probably get sick.
Yeah. Let's see. Yeah. I'm trying to find any other words that rhyme with Daffy.
Daffy Taffy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, somebody had, speaking of Daffy, I think one of the suggestions.
Oh, wait. Can I give you one more?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. We spin it off. Caffy Taffy. Okay. It's caffeinated Taffy.
All right. I hear the dollar signs, the cha-chings.
Coffee flavored Caffy Taffy.
There we go. So instead of drinking coffee every day, you have one taffy. It's the equivalent of two Starbucks coffees.
Yes.
So it's like Red Bull, but let's say you don't like drinking your caffeine. You're eating your caffeine.
Yeah, I'm on
here.
The go. I can't fix coffee. I need a quick caffeine hit and a joke.
Maybe you're driving. It's hard. It's annoying sometimes to drive and keep going for your coffee 5 or 6 times if you're on the highway. Mm-hmm. You just have the taffy right there.
Yeah. Hey, maybe I'm playing Among Us all night long and it's 3 o'clock in the morning and I'm coming off a little extra sus. Pop in a Caffy Taffy.
Caffy
away
Taffy.
We,
there
go.
We go. No, I'm in a Caffy Taffy. We're going to pick. We will. When we have the Laffy Taffy people on, we're going to pitch them the product Caffy Taffy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited for it.
Amanda, would you have a Caffy Taffy?
I think, you know, especially if you're on a long podcast and you don't want to consume many fluids.
Well, you wouldn't want to eat taffy on a podcast.
That's true. Yeah. That's true.
I know you're only on episode 5 of your podcast.
Let me give you a pro tip.
Yeah. Taffy, yeah. One of the worst foods to eat on a podcast.
Yeah. I have no experience with podcasters eating while I'm talking to them, but I assume it would be weird. Okay, speaking of taffies, one of the things I like that people suggested I see here is Daffy Duck. Nobody's talking about Daffy Duck anymore. Donald Duck took his crown. Mm-hmm. How does Daffy Duck get it back?
Oh, well, first off, does he have a big role in Space Jam 2?
This is what I was thinking. I think if you write him as the hero in Space Jam 2 and then spin it off to his own show, Daffy Duck could become...
What if Daffy Duck tries to get LeBron to wear Velcro shoes in Space Jam 2? What
there
if we could
go.
Get that into the script?
Yeah. I mean, there's going to be product placement. We could probably get... It's probably too late, maybe for Space Jam 3. We could get, like, LeBron in the first half is terrible because the monster took his powers again.
And his shoelaces.
Taffy Taffy. And there we go. He goes for a triple-double in the second half.
Mm-hmm. After he pops in a Caffy Taffy, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. Okay. Anything else in the lightning round?
Do you have anything? Do you have anything, Akiva?
Not really. No. Somebody said nose picking. Can we bring nose picking back?
Yeah.
No.
This isn't the moment for nose picking.
Talking on the phone.
Talking on the phone. I don't think so.
No, Cuckoo I think
clocks.
That's better.
Cuckoo
Spam?
Clocks.
All right, cuckoo clocks. What do you think about cuckoo clocks?
So you have a clock and then it goes cuckoo every hour. Let's see.
Who is this for?
Who's this for? Why do I want a clock that makes a noise every hour? Anything that beeps, I'm sort of out on. I mean, Akiva, maybe could you... What if it's a cuckoo clock, but instead of like a cuckoo bird, it's like a little tiny Steve Cohen that comes out and reminds me every hour that he's like, I own the Mets.
Oh, so I like it. It's, you're getting reminded something that's good.
Yes.
Like it could be a literal reminder, like you have a date tonight, or like don't forget to pay your rent tomorrow. Or it could be, you know, a positive thing.
Yeah.
Like, you know, hey, you know, the Jets are going to have the first pick in the draft.
Yeah.
Like a positive affirmation.
Positive
on the
affirmation
hour.
Of like, maybe you could get these like personalized, like your kid, like, Amanda, would you like to have one of your son pop out every hour? Say, I love you, Mom.
It's very sweet.
It's very sweet. It's like, cool. Aw.
It could be a cuckoo clock app on your phone, and then you could sort of customize it endlessly.
Hmm. positive affirmation on the hour, although that on your phone, I think it would just like blurt out like,
right.
You'd be in a meeting, be like, you are so good looking. Like, what? What was that?
You have plenty of money.
Oh, that'd be good.
Yeah. So I don't know if it's necessarily in the app, but maybe in the home. Okay.
All right. Bring back cuckoo clocks. I love it.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, I think you guys have done a lot of really great work on this podcast and reforming some of these brands.
Helping the world. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll see if any of these ideas end up sticking.
What do you think is the best chance of, is it the bingo DMVs? The Caffy Taffy, I think, will probably be a big hit. What else was there? Are cargo shorts going to come back?
the very like sleek and like hidden cargo pants.
I think Potpourri has a good shot.
Mm-hmm. It may. The problem is that may exist. I don't think the bingo DMVs exist. That might exist.
So we'll see. We'll let the listeners tell us.
Yeah, tell us what you like.
Yeah. Okay. Speaking of sticking, Amanda, are you sticking for the mailbag?
Sure. Okay. I would love to.
All right. We're not talking about the Renap bot, though, right?
No, we're not. I did not prepare a bracket for this podcast.
Okay. All right. And then, Akiva, anything else that we need to do before we head on to taking our suggestions from the listeners?
No, I'm excited to get in the mailbag today. We got a chock full of mailbag.
Okay. All right. So I'm going to be going and grabbing some Caffy Taffy to recharge for the mailbag. So we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back with Mailbag 110 here on Rob and Akiva Need a Podcast.
It's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
All right. Mailbag number 110 here. We just got done fixing a bunch of broken things, and now we're ready to add some more stuff to the wheel. Uncle Kiwi.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah, I just realized, Rob, I forgot one more thing from the PR. Right?
Yes.
Yeah, Tyler wrote in and said, can you fix the name Karen?
Can we fix the name Karen?
Yeah. Had a bad year.
Karen from Canada is doing a great job.
Yes. Great job.
Facilitating that image. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But I was thinking, I think the best way to fix it, if there was Karen Kardashian. I think Kim Kardashian names a kid Karen, brings it fully back.
Are people that in on the Kardashians?
Enough that I don't know if people are copying their names. I don't think there's a lot of like Norths or Chicago's necessarily. We could ask our friend from babynames.com, but I think like that would sort of change the conversation about the Karen.
Okay. So we just need like the right new Karen to come in.
Yeah. The right celebrity to name their baby Karen and we're all set.
Okay.
Bringing back Karen.
Bringing it back. Can I start off with giving you something that I received as part of the Robin's Podcast patron cast this week?
Please.
Okay. Samuel Little, not the serial killer, that he called in to pitch, going back to the idea of Robin and Akiva have a variety show.
Okay.
And we were talking about that. We said, well, what if we could get the right person to do it? And he was saying the idea of, could it be a podcast that's a bunch of smaller ideas? And I said, hold on. Wait, hold the phone. This is not a variety show. This is a variety pack. What do you think of this idea, Akiva? Like the package of like six different cereals. What do you think of an episode that's the variety pack, where it's all the things that are sort of like a little bit of an idea, a 10-minute idea that we do all in one episode, and we fill up our variety pack, and then when we have six ideas for the variety pack, that goes on the wheel.
I'm in. First of all, I think it's very good. It's similar to what we've discussed, but I like the branding here more. I like it. The only things I would say is, are we married to six? Should four or five be an option? Because six is a lot of anything. Prepping six ideas. I'm sure at least one of them is going to need a guest. Maybe six is overreaching. Maybe it should be four ideas of 15 minutes or five ideas of 15 minutes.
Yeah. All right, Amanda, what do you think of the variety pack?
I really like this idea quite a bit, because I think that you do get a lot of good pitches that end up languishing in the waiting room because it's like not quite a full show, but it would make a great segment. So I think this could be a great way to get some of those ideas in the mix.
So variety pack cereal, how many come in the package, Akiva?
I think it is five.
Odd number in a packaging.
No. I was thinking like on each side. I'm trying to think each side. No, it's four and four, I believe.
Yeah, I'm looking it up now, and it's eight.
Yeah, it's four and four.
Snack, fun pack, I see.
I think eight
Kellogg's.
Is too many.
Yeah, I see a Kellogg's 10, Kellogg's 30.
Mm-hmm.
I see an eight. Yeah,
I think we're in the four, five, or six range. I think that's the right number.
Mm-hmm.
So who suggested it?
This is from Sam Little.
So if Sam wants to be in charge, and he's not a serial killer, you established, right?
We are talking about cereal, but I do not believe he's a serial killer.
Okay. So yeah, if he wants to be in charge, or if someone else wants to be in charge, if he's not interested.
I don't think
tracking...
he wanted to be in charge. I think
okay,
that
fine,
he was,
that's
was
fine.
A more of a pitch.
Okay.
Than...
I will. So we will sort of, if we hear an idea today in the mailbag, or I can have somebody go through, you know, the waiting room and maybe they're ejected ideas and see what belongs in the variety pack. And then we'll put it on the wheel in a few weeks.
Right. But like when we went through the wheel list, I think there was, or the wheel waiting room, like I think we should have another tab on the spreadsheet at robswebsite.com/wheel list. And that tab should be variety pack. And then anything that's sort of like, I don't know if it's a whole episode, then that should be in the variety pack.
Yeah, I think you nailed it.
Mm hmm. There you go. All right. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of pack, you know what rhymes with pack? What rhymes with pack?
Sack?
Yes. Hacky sack was a suggestion for bring back, but that's not what I was talking about.
pack.
Zach. I would say Zach Morris or the Zach Attack Band.
Yeah.
Speaking of Zach Morris, people liked our idea, the Caffeine Pills episode of Saved by the Bell.
Okay.
I thought it was well received. People said that you nailed it. That's the idea.
Great idea. Have you watched the new Saved by the Bell?
I have not yet. Have you?
I haven't seen it yet. I was hoping that I could do something with Eric Stein, but you know, he has a lot going on.
Yeah, I know. Mm-hmm. Eric Stein has never been on this show.
Yeah, believe
We've
it or
talked
not.
Talked about it since day one. He's never been on the show.
He's had a rough 2020.
I know.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, maybe that we could get him, you know, out of retirement for.
Yeah.
For
who should
for
he be? Should he be Zach Morris? Should he be doing the stage direction?
I mean, if he wants a role, he has a role in our Saved by the Bell.
Okay, maybe he can direct it.
Well, yeah, he could be the director. I mean, listen, we're giving him a lot of work. He might not want, but he can have any role he wants.
Yeah. Okay.
We said, or have we established you're going to be Belding and I'm going to be Screech? Is that what
I
we
think
said?
That's what we've established so far.
Okay. So, so should we take applications? Can people email
let's
in?
Let's just reach out to Eric and see what he how much he wants to be involved. Does he want to cast the whole thing? Does he want a part? Mm-hmm. Does he want nothing to do with this?
Okay.
Yeah.
Fine. We can do that.
And then we'll come back around to that.
But you're on board with...
Yes,
with,
it's fine. I want any table read. I'm excited for table read.
But I think this is the right idea.
Baby. Yeah.
Yeah. It has the right sort of... it has the right amount of silliness, but also people really like it. If there is... If table read... Listen, it might not work. I think the basement is through the floor. The floor is through the basement for this idea. Like, it could be the worst
That's
episode.
That's bad. It's not going to be the worst episode.
But... But if it's going to work, I think this is the right episode for it. Okay. That's all I'm saying.
Amanda, how do you feel about the Saved by the Bell table read?
I feel good about it. I mean, I think that Akiva's right that this is a good tone. It's sort of like it's Saved by the Bell is funny, but this is serious enough that you can bring more humor to it in your delivery of it. I think you'll be able to find a great cast from the Renap community. So I'm all for it. I think it sounds really fun.
Yeah. Be exciting.
I already got a couple applications for people who want to be in the table read.
Yeah.
Want to get cast.
Akiva, should we talk about the quicksand controversy?
Yeah. So some people, we initiated a new mechanism to the wheel, right? Where we get to pick one idea and that idea has 2 months to get chosen. And if it doesn't, it gets not a permanent, but a temporary ban from the wheel.
Mm-hmm.
Amanda, so the clock has started.
What, the cuckoo clock is ticking. Amanda, what did you think about the quicksand idea?
So, I mean, I don't love the idea that something that's, you know, Akiva has famously said that an idea needs to earn its stripes on the wheel. You know, some ideas through no fault of their own just end up on the wheel for a long time and they're great ideas. So I think is this idea that the quicksand, would it automatically go off the wheel or you just kind of consider it for removal from the wheel?
No, I think it's gone.
It's gone.
After 2 months.
But it's not gone forever. I think we said a 6 month ban. Not gone forever. It goes back on the wheel in 6 months.
All that does is make these anticipated ideas have to wait even longer for it.
But it's not. We're not knocking off the most. We're not taking the Royal Rumble out. Mm-hmm. It's an idea that right now it's maybe struggling on the wheel. It's not earning its stripes on the wheel.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, to be fair, we almost knocked off this idea. I think this was until we decided to knock off the game show idea. I was leaning towards the PR firm, maybe just because, like, maybe it wasn't destined to be, but then it happened.
I like the idea because I think that what it does is it gives something that might not have any juice. People might not be excited about it, but now it builds in an underdog story to it.
Yeah,
not that one. I kind of wanted to hear that. And then people are like, mad, like, no, you put it in danger. And now it's like, oh, okay, now people are rooting for it.
Yeah, and if it comes up on people's choice, like vote for it, or it dies. You know, it's your baby.
Yes, yes.
Pressure on, yeah.
Yes. What does not get stronger must die.
Mm-hmm.
On the wheel.
I do love anything that makes the wheel more complicated.
Yes.
I'm a big fan of that.
Same, big same. Yeah. So, all right, the quicksand
stays. We're trying it. We're going to try it once. If people really hate it, we'll get rid of it after this time. But it's here for now.
Yeah. Okay.
Pick it up with the with Aisha if you have a real problem with it.
Okay, she liked it.
She didn't say anything, which to me means it's not a big problem.
Okay,
because she would have been very fast to say no. She likes to give us leeway to do what we want.
Yes.
She's not an ops of the podcast.
Okay, all right. So then, Akiva, what's next?
We got at least 3 or 4 emails from high school listeners who want us to mentor them. We discussed mentoring guys.
Right, Amanda, okay, so I was a little concerned that maybe this might not be in, you know, this is a bad idea for some reason that I may not be able to put my finger on right now. Should Akiva and I be mentoring young people?
Should it be college freshmen? Should it be 18 plus?
Yeah, I think I'm more in favor of that. I mean, I share the concern that we're, you know, putting, you know, I share the concern that, you know, we have our young listeners and, you know, I want to protect them and, you know, don't want to, you know, maybe they're very excited about an idea, but, you know, you go on the podcast and maybe they have some consequences to that they are not crazy about. Maybe they get some feedback they don't like. Not that anybody would do that, but it's just, I like the idea of protecting our young listeners. So maybe over 18, I'm a little bit more in favor of that.
Does it change the equation at all for you if there is a parental consent and also a parent on the phone?
Yeah,
I think that would be necessary. I would feel okay if this was under parental supervision.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay. So here are the emails so far. Here are the contenders. We don't have to pick right now. We could have them tell us more about
themselves. You don't say their name. Just say maybe an initial.
Well, I don't have their last names, so I think I could say their first names because they're very generic.
Okay.
JJ says, hello, I'm an 18-year-old high school Renap fan named JJ. And I would be interested in being, it would be funny if I didn't say his name and then I said it in there. mm-hmm. and I would be interested in being under your mentorship. Okay.
Okay.
Neil says, I'm currently a 16-year-old junior in high school. I'll soon pick my class for senior year. My question is, what were the most fun classes you guys took in high school? I want something easy that I don't want to do a lot of work for.
Yeah.
Seems like more of an Akiva guy. I don't know.
Yeah. We don't know what classes are offered.
Yeah, give us some options. I don't know. And Avery says, hi, guys. I'm Avery. I'm currently in high school, and I would be up to be mentored and write in about the high school experience, whatever. I'm a dedicated Renep listener, so I'm not sure that makes me more or less cool than an average high schooler. We've heard from Avery.
Probably more. Okay.
Definitely.
Should we put all the electives on a wheel, Akiva?
Yes. If you want the wheel to choose your high school schedule, Neil, then send it in, and we will, even if it's one class, we will put them on a wheel. And we can randomize your high school schedule for next year. I'm definitely down to do that. Yeah,
that's in the variety pack. Okay. All right.
Yeah. I mean, let us know your problems and we can answer them, you know, in the mailbag. Like, we need more specific than just mentor me.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. What else?
How about this? Taylor says, Robin Akiva, play What's in the Box.
How do you play What's in the Box?
So Robin Akiva play What's in the Box. Robin Akiva both have a list or photos of outrageous items that are in their boxes. They each take turns either explaining what their item is based on what the list says or making up another wild item that's in the box. The other then guesses what is actually in their box.
Amanda, are you following this at all?
So this is like a game where you just take some random questions? Item. Yeah.
I think so. Okay, so let's say I have a squirrel in my box and you have, an old
potpourri.
Okay. Yeah. Potpourri. You have potpourri. And I guess we're either playing 20 questions or we're given a list of hints. And whoever gets it first, maybe we each have like three boxes. They don't have to literally be there. But, you know, it's like
this
a game.
This is very boring, I think.
Not even for the variety pack. It's not even variety pack worthy.
Do we play 20 questions? What are we, like on a road trip?
Ooh, maybe that's for the eventual actual sleepover party. But I do like, one of the nice things about the variety pack is like, we can ask ourselves, would this even work as it, you know?
All right,
as a,
well, here's how we can test it. Let's do, okay, yeah. Amanda, can you think of something to put in the box?
Yeah, I got it.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
Rob, should we go back, go back and forth?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Is it a person?
No.
Does it have a value of over $100?
No. that's such an Akiva opening question.
Is it bigger than a bread box?
No.
Bread box should come back. I feel like it only comes up in 20 questions.
That's a good one. Mm-hmm.
If someone saw it on the street, would they pick it up?
Maybe, yeah.
Okay.
Is it food?
No.
What would happen if you ate it?
You'd probably have to go to the doctor.
Okay.
Is it metal?
It can have metal components to it.
Okay.
Is it a pen?
Ding, ding, ding.
Oh, there we go.
Wow.
The whole show.
There it is.
Okay. Akiva, you are exceptionally good at that.
It would be funny if it was a $100 pen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can it write upside down? Yeah.
My dad was so friendly with the guy who owned the local convenience store that he would get coffee from every day. That he invited him to my bar mitzvah. Mm-hmm. I remember, like, I guess one of the things they sold there was like nice pens. So I remember he brought me a pen for my bar mitzvah.
There you go.
I should find it. It would be my only pen.
Yeah.
I don't think that's a great podcast.
Yeah.
Well, how about this? So we talked about that call my bluff style thing that we were sort of talking about putting on the wheel last week. Should that be a variety pack?
Put it in the variety pack.
So call my bluff, which you remember, or is that a whole episode? I think it's a variety pack. You know, Rob says I could name,
look,
you know.
Here's the beauty of the variety pack. Something succeeds in the variety pack, it could get a whole episode pickup.
It's true. You could make it out of the minor leagues to the
How
major
about this,
leagues. I agree.
That you do not need to wait 10 episodes to go on the wheel to come out of the variety pack.
If it's a huge hit, you could go straight on.
You can go straight to the wheel.
Mm-hmm. So if you know, someone said, hey, can you name 12 state capitals in the next 30 seconds? And I said 13 and you said name them. All right. Mm-hmm. So that's going to be call my bluff. That'll be the first thing that's in the variety
pack. Best of seven we'll do in the call my bluff.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe the variety pack should be a best of seven. Should there be like a games variety pack? It's not all going to be games, though.
It's not all going to be games.
But there'll probably be one or two games in there.
Could be one or two games.
Mm-hmm.
Also, the art will be the art of what each podcast would be, like, broken up. There'll be like six spots in the one picture.
That.
Yes.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah, that's a fun idea. I'm excited about the variety pack. I think this was a very good idea from the listener.
Yes.
Daniel says, I'm officially caught up. I'm now a week-to-week listener. I listened to all 109 episodes of Renap in 144 days.
Wow, Daniel.
How's that for devotion?
So 109 episodes in 44 days?
Yeah. He said, how perfect the episode I finally catch up on, which was 107. He did not. I could ask him if he has any takes.
Yeah.
Ends up being the first time one of my ideas was read, even though it was summarily dismissed. Who cares? I finally made the show. I'm very happy.
Okay.
Just wanted to read a nice email from Daniel. We get some of those emails. I usually don't read them.
Mm-hmm.
But I like the idea that he binged Renap over quarantine.
Mm-hmm. Nice job.
All right. I like this idea. I do not think this is variety pack. I think this is a yes or no, because some of the ideas are not appropriate for the variety pack because they require too many guests or too much time. This is from our friend John Densford. He says, the show is called Dialects or Accents Are Trash. Rob and Akiva bring on a number of guests with very distinct accents, like a Southern accent, an Australian accent, British, New York, Boston. And they must figure out which of the three people has a real accent and who are the two people faking it. He says, this is the best idea I've ever had. Hashtag Mario Music. Hashtag Renap.
Who is this from again?
Den Dollar.
Den Dollar. Okay.
So this is very similar to the episode we did with Corey B a month or so ago.
Yeah.
Which was called what? What was that episode called again?
To Tell the Truth.
To Tell the Truth. Yeah. So this is like a spinoff of that with accent.
Okay. Should we have... Corey B and Karen did such a good job of putting it all together. Should they be in charge of? I like the idea.
Yeah, it's a good idea.
Yeah, very audio friendly.
Mm-hmm. I agree, Corey B. If you like this idea, we'll put it on the wheel next week. Just put it together.
Yeah.
Now I want to ask you: do you think we will be good at it?
I don't know, because I feel like that a lot of times that I watch TV shows and then I'm like blown away, like, oh, that person was British. I had no idea.
Right. Yeah.
Who's faking the whole time?
Who's the all time I didn't know that person was British on American TV? Is it McNulty?
From The Wire? That he's a good one. Amanda, do you have any thoughts?
I think he slipped in his accents in the first two seasons. He got better. I mean, the Australians are really good. Like, you know, Nicole Kidman, and I mean, everybody knows like that they are, you know, that they're Australian, but their American accents are really good.
Amanda thinks that only American actors should be allowed to do American accents. So.
You're just blowing up all my hot takes on this podcast.
But honestly, I think that a lot of people have trouble with the British versus the Australian. A lot of stupid Americans like myself have trouble distinguishing even between, if you heard three Aussies, you'd be like, what is this? You'd be like, I don't know, Australia, South Africa. Like, I have no idea.
Mm-hmm.
So I do think it'll be hard, but I like the idea of people faking Southern accents. I think it's very fun.
Yeah, I like it.
I think it's fun.
There was somebody recently that I on something I was watching that I was like, oh, I didn't know, but I can't remember what it was. So I'm in.
People are very mad. I'm not watching the Crown.
Watching The Crown?
No, nobody cares about that. People are mad about Gillian Anderson's accent, I think. That's from Context Clues on Twitter. I've been seeing people bashing Gillian Anderson.
Context Clues on Twitter. That's a website you go to?
No. People have been... she is an American actress who lives in London, who is playing someone, I don't know who, in the royal family.
Yes.
And people think she has a very poor British accent.
Yes. She was from The X-Files.
Yes, she's most famously from The X-Files, which I only saw the second X-Files movie.
Was
I never
she
saw
Mulder
the
or Scully?
She was, you know, Mulder. Those names?
She's Scully. Mulder is the guy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whatever David happened Duchovny. To Duchovny?
Didn't he? Wasn't he like an addict of some kind of like a sex addict? Maybe am I making that up?
No, that was the show he was in. California
documentary.
No, I don't believe so. I don't know. They gotta look him up on Wikipedia. Yeah, I feel like he did Californication, and then they brought back the X-Files, and then I don't know. I don't know what else he's doing. He's in The Craft Legacy.
I mean, I think he made a lot of money. Like, I think Duchovny's set. Not everyone needs to work their whole life.
Yeah.
You think he's not getting any gigs, Duchovny? Maybe, is he difficult on set, maybe?
I don't know.
Oh, wait, you know, he really, I mean, he was in a movie in 2013. And like you said, The Kraft Legacy, he's basically not worked other than since Californication and Aquarius.
No, some he other did. Show they in did an X-Files reboot. They rebooted the X-Files at some point.
Oh, so maybe it's just showing up differently. Oh, I see. Yeah, yeah, because it's showing up differently chronologically.
Yeah, he was married to Tia Leone.
Isn't it Taya Leone?
Is it Taya Leone?
I always thought it was Taya.
Hmm. And then, but yeah, and then in October, that see Akiva, that you, this must have resonated with you, that in 2008, Duchovny announced he checked himself into rehab.
No, it was for treating truly sex me mixing addiction. Up his real life with, I think.
You
I
didn't
just,
mix it up, he was both.
I know, yeah, but I think wow. It was an accident that I was right. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yes.
I think I knew it from Californication.
And like, then that's on October 15th, Duchovny and Leone's representatives issued a statement revealing that they had separated. And a week later, Duchovny's lawyer said that he was going to sue the Daily Mail over an article which claimed that he had an affair with Hungarian tennis instructor Edit Paquet while he was married to Leone. And he just denied that.
Hard to turn down those Hungarian tennis instructors.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he is supportive of environmentalism and an enthusiast for electrical vehicle technology.
Interesting. What's Taya Leone up to?
I think she's on that show on, is that Madam Secretary? Is that her?
Oh,
she's
yeah.
The secretary?
Yeah, but that show, like, you know, like any like fake politics show, like ceased to be interesting once right. Real politics eclipsed all fiction shows for the absurd. Like you would tune into Madam Secretary to be like, oh, what would it be like if the world was normal? Let me watch this work of fiction to see the calm world of Madam Secretary.
Mm-hmm.
Do you watch Madam Secretary season 3 episode 7?
I think there's very little demand for that. Are they up to season 3?
Yeah, it started in 2014.
And it's still on?
I don't know. I don't know. What
I don't know a lot of people. I've never heard someone say like, "Sorry, I can't hang out tonight. I got to watch Madam Secretary."
Yes. Madam Secretary, about the, you know, that a world with a female Secretary of State, Tia Leone.
Yeah. Speaking of season 3, episode 7, but not of Madam Secretary, Av writes in and says, "You guys might not realize, but season 3, episode 7 of Renap is next week. Given that it's a weekly podcast, seasons could be broken up into 52 episode segments. So the season 1 finale was Watching the Fanatic, episode 52, and the season 2 finale was the musical. That means the PR for season 3, episode 6, and next week's episode, whatever it may be, will be season 3, episode 7.
Hmm.
What do you think about that? Or should we count it on the calendar, meaning season 1 ended when, August 18th was the first season, so it ended August 9th, and season 2 ended Robin Hever Superheroes August 16th.
I don't think you can retcon the seasons. Yeah. I don't know.
What is a season of Renap? Are we still in season 1 of Renap? How does this work?
I don't think we have seasons on this podcast.
We don't have seasons?
Yeah.
Could we call this next week the season finale? I think that would be fun.
No.
You don't want to do that.
I don't want to do
that. I tried this once, and you immediately
it's just it's a stupid idea. It's dumb. You just want to arbitrarily say this is a season. Like, if this is a season, then there needs to be a break. So if you want to have a season finale and take a month off, that's fine.
You know what?
Fine.
I think we did that last New Year's or something. I think we did say, like, it was the season finale. I think mm-hmm. we did this bit once already.
Yeah.
When we took a week off.
It's not a great bit. Yeah.
Allie said the table read should be a podcast. You should do a table read of the podcast.
Should do a table read of the podcast.
Like, maybe people would be playing me and you.
Okay.
And there's just the whole
so make
podcast.
A transcript of an existing podcast.
I'm
and
not
then
sure. Maybe we could have
it.
Her explain it further. But mm-hmm. yeah.
This is Allie Lasher sure. said this?
Allie Lasher said yeah. this, yes.
Is it people redoing an existing podcast?
I'll get more info.
Or
on
is
that.
It a spec script of a new episode? Like mm-hmm. if somebody wants to write an episode of Robin and Keep mm-hmm. Me a podcast and then we read it. I think that would be interesting.
That would be interesting.
Yeah. Right, we would go to the table read of, like, we would show up like we're actors, and then we would show up, we would get the script, and for the first
time...
We're
reading our own lines.
Yeah, we're reading the script of the episode of Robin and Kevin Eat a Podcast.
Would there be a lot of, I would never say that. I think we could.
That would be part of it.
Like, or if Rob is like, you know, I really think that's more of an Akiva line. Honestly, you got to give that.
Yeah,
one to
Akiva. Can I give a no? I wouldn't say it like this.
Yeah, that's funny.
I like that idea.
Yeah, it's a good idea.
If somebody wants, if we have I know we have a lot of aspiring writers. Amanda, do you like this idea?
So, yeah, I mean, I think that that could be fun. So then it would just be, there would be two roles, maybe a few guest roles.
Maybe there's a guest. Mm-hmm. Maybe this is somebody's playing a guest on the podcast. I mean, you could really book whoever you want. I mean, you could
probably be a guest heavy podcast.
I mean, you could book The Rock on there and somebody's playing, playing The Rock.
A whole show is it like a segment? Is it like,
I think it's a great way to get one of these aspirational episodes that you couldn't get, you know, really just kind of take it anywhere. That's fun.
Right. I mean, you could book you could have an all-star line, The Rock, Josh Wiggler.
Oh, yes. Well, how about
Chester.
Same guy.
What's that?
Same guy. But what if it's, I'm making a joke. What if it's watching The Rock with The Rock? So it's us talking about the movie The Rock with The Rock.
Why? So the episode, the spec script is that, so the person that's writing this has to do like the recap of The Rock.
And then it's Akiva also and Rob and Dwayne The Rock Johnson's takes on the movie The Rock.
I don't want to box somebody in. If somebody,
okay, that's just an idea.
We're throwing stuff out there. It could be anything.
Yeah, it could even be a boat. All right, last idea, and then you could spin the wheel. Nathaniel says, on the last idea, Rob mentioned something that would be a great addition to the wheel, the fast-forward mechanism. Here's how he thinks it should work. If the fast-forward mechanism is chosen...
This isn't the time jump, right?
I don't think
so,
but
yes.
We're going to see what he said. If the fast-forward mechanism is chosen, you spin the wheel again to determine what you will be discussing the following episode. But the next episode is actually 100 episodes in the future. For example... if it's for 125, now this will be episode 225. During the episode, you make mention of things that will happen in the future as if they will already have occurred. Examples of this could be what Liana mentioned on the Star Wars special podcast, or Mike Bloom's recent Brand Steel with You, how crazy 2020 was looking back at it, or how the third episode of Sour Ones went. All right, so he's giving examples of references to podcasts that will have happened between 125 and 225, but have not happened yet. The trick would be that in the mailbag for 225, you'd have to spin... you'd have to spin for the actual 125. Also, you'd need to remember to skip from episodes 224 to 226 in a few years from now in the future when you get there.
I think I'm lost.
He's a little lost. I kind of like the idea of the flash forward that we're pretending it's in the future, but I don't think the mailbag would not be in the future.
What if we'd have to like sort of guess the mailbag?
We wouldn't guess the mailbag because the part of the show where we flash forward would cease at the part where we start the mailbag. Just like we're not still pitching ideas to punch up.
Right. Well, what if in episode 125, instead of episode 125, we skip a week and we record episode 225? And then 100 episodes later, like, it's such a favor that current Rob and current Akiva are doing for future Rob and future Akiva.
I know, but then the current listeners are mad that there's no podcast that week.
Well, let's say, okay, fine. But let's say it was a week, maybe we weren't going to do one anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But we secretly record 225.
We've talked about this like 100 times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. This is a little complicated. I think it would need to be nailed down to like bullet point ideas, Nathaniel.
What do you think, Amanda?
It's a very fun idea, but I just kind of don't understand how it would play out quite yet. So maybe if it could get some more detail, maybe I'd be in on it.
Mm-hmm. It's more fun in theory, I think, than it is in actuality.
Yeah, I agree. It's a funny bit, but sometimes it doesn't work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
All right. So spin that wheel, baby.
Akiva, is Gen Z's shows or trash ready to go on the wheel?
Yeah, I thought that's on the wheel.
I think it's in the waiting room.
Oh, yeah, that could go on the wheel. Yeah, we have those. I think we have two of the three shows picked out. Zach and I were going back and forth, but that doesn't take more than 5 minutes to figure out. So that can go on the wheel. I mean, it's for next week, I guess, at this point, but yeah.
Okay.
I thought that was on there already.
All right. Write that down with that pen.
Well, I don't have to write it down.
Did millennials kill pens, Amanda?
I think they did.
What do they write with?
I don't know. I want to find out if millennials are using pens and paper.
Is that why Akiva writes notes in his phone? Is that what millennials do?
It's true, because Akiva is the most millennial one of us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you have a Palm Pilot? Is that what you use?
I remember when I was starting high school, one of the other private school high schools to like try and recruit kids were like, mm-hmm. we're giving every freshman a Palm Pilot. Mm-hmm. Everyone's like, ooh. And they were like immediately obsolete. They were never useful.
Okay. All right. So we are going to add in Gen X shows are.
Gen Z.
Sorry. So self-absorbed. Gen Z shows are trash. Okay. All right. Do we know what comes after Gen Z yet? Did anybody figure that out?
They born yet?
I don't know. Like, what about our kids? Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Akiva, some of your kids are Gen Z, and then some of your kids are the next thing.
True.
Yeah.
Right. All of our sons. Yeah. I think combined we have 5 sons, right? And they're all young.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what's their generation.
We all have two. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Sorry. We all have 2 sons. So how about that?
Yep. Yeah. Could have 2 a party.
A variety pack.
I think it's optimistic to think there'll be something after Gen Z at this point, maybe.
Oh my god. Come on.
So let's get to the
Jets
wheel.
Are gonna get Trevor Lawrence and Steve Cohn owns the Mets. Now the world has to continue, Amanda.
Oh, imagine Akiva, what about the Trevor Lawrence cuckoo clock?
I mean, the problem is what a collector's item it'll be when the Jets like take Justin Fields with the first pick and screw it up or something. Mm. Or like lose it for like not following Corona rules. Like, I don't know.
All right.
I'll believe it when I see it.
Okay.
Trevor Lawrence.
Let's take a look at what's on the wheel right now. Season 3, episode 7 is on the wheel. So is the coin flip and the crappy movie diaper. Did we add the Carrot Top movie to the crappy movie diaper?
Yes, that is in there if it comes up this week.
AKA Celery Top. People's Choice created so many problems last week or 2 weeks ago. The Price is Right. The PR firm is... I thought the PR firm went great.
I had a blast.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it.
Yes.
Mandy did a great job.
Thank you.
You Are a Shark Week is on the wheel.
Mm-hmm.
Spinoffs are trash with Jason Reed. Invent a Game Show is in quicksand. Uh-oh, we take one step closer to February 1st for Invent a Game Show. Hope it's okay. So the kids' ankles are now submerged in the quicksand. Renap X. Oh boy, I'm very excited for Renap X.
I'm excited for that one, too. I think that's a great idea.
Yes. The Sequel Mechanism.
Yeah, that's going to be a good one.
The Match Game. HGTV shows are trash. Robin and Akiva get Trekked. Not Shrek.
There's a lot of shows in our future.
Yes. Star Wars Holiday Special, which I believe now is up to 6 spots on the wheel, courtesy of the Renap bot.
Accurate.
Boom.
Accurate.
Yes. Okay. Then... Am I the A-Hole? And then Gen Z shows are trash. Not eligible for the wheel this week.
Correct.
All right.
Ludicrously packed wheel. So many things on it right now.
Yes. Dummy thick, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Boy, Star Wars Holiday Special is a big chunk of the wheel, just for the visual purposes. Just over 25% of the wheel right now is the Star Wars Holiday Special. With Liana Boris, as conceived of by the Renap bot. All right, episode 111 coming up next week. What's it going to be? Let's see what the wheel has in store.
Think we'll ever get to 666?
Oh, boy, we'll skip that episode.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, all right.
Remember, we have our vetoes, Rob.
All right, and it's season 3, episode 7.
Wow.
I'm excited because we have not done that as we said in like 15 episodes.
I believe that, this is the longest run in the history of the show that we have gone without doing a season 3, episode 7. We last did season 3, episode 7 of 30 Rock with Melissa Denny, correct?
That was
the last season. Accurate. And that feels like that was like 4 years ago.
So long ago. Can I briefly run through the shows?
You may.
Family Matter, Gilligan's Island, The Muppet Show, Gilmore Girls, Doogie Howser, Boy Meets World, American Horror Story, Who's the Boss, Early Edition, Frasier, Sex in the City, Desperate Housewives, and forgot we added this one, The Sopranos.
Oh, oh wow.
With Nicole Sesternino?
It might be hard to keep her away.
Yeah.
All right.
And remember, we can veto after this, and then it's a re-wheel spin.
You can't take it with you, the vetoes. We both have one.
But if you veto... the fishbowl could come again. It might be a different show, but you could get the fishbowl right back at you.
Oh, it could be the same thing. That this ping pong ball could go back and go back in.
Yes, you could be hoisted by your own veto.
All right. And the season 3, episode 7 ball is...
Oh my gosh.
Long anticipated Family Matters.
Oh,
I'm excited.
Yes.
We're getting to meet Urkel next week.
Yes. Okay. Season 3, episode 7 of Family Matters. Akiva, was there a guest attached to that? I think that over the years there have been many names
I have an
attached.
Idea, but I want to say it off. I'll say it offline just in case.
Okay. Sounds good. Season 3, episode 7 of Family Matters. And let's just see what that one is. Oh, it's called Robo Nerd. Steve builds a robot that looks and talks and chases after Laura just like him. I hope we don't have to cancel Steve Urkel.
I guess that's a good
thing
to
find out. Yeah.
Robo Nerd.
Yeah, because man, if you heard a story like that was like contextual clues on Twitter about a young man who built a robot to
a creepy neighbor,
try to make advances towards his female neighbor, you would feel like that probably would be not a good story.
No, it's not great. Poor Laura Winslow. We'll re-examine it.
Okay. We'll take a look back. Season 3, episode 7 of... Akiva, what's your feeling generally on robots? I feel like we haven't talked a lot about that.
I mean, I think, like, I'm ready. I'm definitely gonna... if there's a war against the robots, I'm gonna be on the front lines. Like, I'm willing to fight the robots.
Oh! Wow! I mean, you are so... You're anti-alien, anti-robot. Yeah. See, we talk about a lot about robots on News AF, and Danny and Tyson and myself I think we're all pretty much on the same page. Very pro robot.
It's not canon on the show also because we once said here that we would easily just like give the robots whatever they want. We'll give them intel on whoever. Mm-hmm. Like we will turn and join the robots. We'll be secret moles for the robots.
Okay. Boy, Akiva would go on the front lines to fight the robots.
Well, with Couchy.
For a man who refuses to use a pen and paper,
mm-hmm.
That's where you draw the line.
So we're not vetoing Robo Nerd, right?
No. Are you vetoing Robo Nerd?
Absolutely not. No, I've been. Family Matters was near the top of my wish list for season 3, episode 7. I'm not vetoing it.
Okay.
I think it's lost a poll or two in its day. Its time has come.
Yes. Okay. Family Matters, episodes 111. Amanda, are you a Family Matters fan?
Oh, I mean, I definitely watched a lot of Family Matters, back in my day. So I'm excited for this. It'll be a nostalgia thing.
Okay. All right. Amanda, where can people listen to you and Jason Curtis Rivera talk about many more episodes of Psych, not just 5?
Not just 5. We're in it for the whole 240 or
240?
Whatever.
240? Wow.
No way. There's...
Maybe it's 210. It's a lot. There's two movies. It was on USA.
And they just pump out shows. I figured USA would be a 13 episode a year.
Now there's a lot of Psych episodes. So it's quite the commitment we've signed on to. So please please if you're a Psych fan, come and listen. It's a spoiler-free podcast cuz I'm a Psych newbie and you can find us at completely new to it. You can find us at ikydk.com. That's I Know You Don't Know.
Is that a Psych reference or is that like an inside joke?
It's a Psych reference, I think. I mean, I didn't know what anything was. Jason set everything up, but it is a Psych reference. It's a reference to the theme song. And it's also, everywhere you can listen to podcasts, you can find us.
Akiva, only 120 episodes of Madam Secretary, if you think that could be the fifth podcast for you, Madam Secretary rewatch. Right,
let's get the music cast off the ground this week.
Okay.
I would love to record me telling my wife I'm starting another podcast. Yeah,
spoiler alert. I just want to let you know, Madam Secretary eventually becomes the President of the United States.
Oh, no. Well, now you spoiled the whole show.
Mm-hmm. No. The whole show is the journey, not that eventually her rise to power.
President Taleone. All right, I'm in.
Yeah. Spoiler alert. Any TV show where the main character is sort of like in close proximity of the president, your main character will become the president by the end of the series. Yeah. Just a little bit of a heads up.
Well, Jack Bauer never became the president.
He did on a different show.
Oh, he did? Okay, fine.
You ever hear of Designated Survivor?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, vaguely, but sure.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
The kids that I barely remember 24.
Yeah, my brother told me that. My brother just had knee surgery, and so he did. He watched all of Lost. He never said, "I always want to watch Lost." He watched all of Lost. I said, "Damn,
what was his take?"
He thought it was good. Nothing mind blowing. So I said, "Damn, what are you going to watch next?" And he said, "Thinking about binging all of 24." I'm like, "What are you doing? What are you doing? That's the worst. There's like 300 episodes, and it goes nowhere."
Yeah. Yeah, you should binge the first season of 24 and then give it up.
Yeah, watch it. Every season is the same. Every season is the same.
Yeah, it is true.
Yeah, don't binge 24.
Is that on Netflix? Part of me thinks that could.
I don't think
24
so.
Can have it. It's not that dated that I think could have a second wind, but I don't know.
Yeah, you know, it was, you know, more, I think, in hindsight, more of a gimmick than, you know, a story.
Right.
They should have gone straight to the movies, I think, at a certain point.
Yeah. Yeah, this is like the bomb is going to go off in 2 hours and go mm-hmm. like that. Yeah, let's see. Exactly. I think it's on Hulu. I don't know if it's all the seasons on Hulu. Have we ever been given that to season 3, episode 7 of 24?
No, you want to do it?
Let's see where we're at. Season 3, I think that was the one where it was like, spoiler alert, Jack Bauer like infiltrates the Mexican cartel. And then he goes to jail, right? And then he has to break out of the jail to go look for Salazar. Let's see. Season 3, episode 7. Okay, it's and here's the problem. It's day 3, 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. I liked it when they started like a little bit like different times of day. Ramon holds Jack hostage as they fly to Mexico. Regional director Chappelle. Oh, so that we could have Chappelle on the podcast.
Let's do it.
Interrogates Gail. Yeah. I don't know if he watches 24. We have to have Josh Wigler on. And then Tony Almeida returns prematurely to CTU to reveal Gail's true allegiance. Chase disobeys. Was that Freddie Prinze Jr.? Chase?
I don't remember.
Or that was later. Okay. Either way. Then... Yeah, that was like.
Does Jack Bauer do a lot of gritting and like deep whispering during this episode? Is that this one?
Yeah. Yeah. Chase disobeys orders and heads to Mexico to rescue Jack. Yeah, Chase was a different guy who was like Jack Bauer's assistant.
This one 24 take I haven't seen even a clip of it in years. The set of CTU or wherever it was that they worked was like so bleary and gross.
The set was gross?
Like the set was like very depressing.
It was very dark. Like it was very dark.
Yeah, very dark and metallic. I don't know. That's not like not a place that exists in the real world, I don't think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, CTU. And it always got bombed. It always had a mole. Yeah. So not great. Mm-hmm. Not a great working environment. So that
no,
probably,
not a great. No, too many bombs to really
CTU,
be a good
CTU, I think, probably would have been better with like a pandemic. You could everybody work from home. Nobody would have died. Very few people would have died, I think, because there would be very few, you know, you couldn't infiltrate everybody working from home.
Mm-hmm. I'm with you.
Okay. All right. Amanda, did we bore you with the 24 talk?
I checked out a little bit.
Okay. I can understand. I can understand. We'll do better next time. All right, Akiva, where can people hear more from you?
Wait, can I plug my Twitter, though, before we move on?
Dr. Amanda R.
Dr. Amanda R. So I have rebranded per,
Yes,
you know,
I love it.
You love it. So,
do you still have the old Twitter? Are you like a Liana where you have two Twitters?
Yeah. Yeah, I pulled a Liana, which was overdue. So people are still following me at A Rabinow, which I'm trying to keep very professional. So
I unfollowed that. Well, you said this is professional. I'm a one person per account follower only.
I'll follow both.
That's fine. But if you're if you want the
it was confusing, honestly.
Head injury
it was
news.
Confusing.
Mm-hmm.
No, you're anti-football. No.
There's no anti-football takes at Dr. Amanda R. So come and follow me at Dr. Amanda R.
Okay. Dr. Amanda R. Dr. Amanda R. I love it. That's the incredible rebranding. Best thing that we came up with. Better than Celery Top. Better than Kathy Taffy. Okay. Better than DMV Bingo. So great job there. And of course, Akiva, where can people hear more about what you're doing?
32 fans. We had a football episode this week. NGOG. We had episode 15. That was fun.
NFL's getting out of hand, Akiva. Just I'm siding with Dr. Amanda R. Of just turn it off.
Well, now that you're knocked out of like the fantasy playoffs, it's very convenient.
I'm out of the fantasy playoffs. I'm worried the Jets are going to win a game. Just let's just fast forward to like don't we know who the top eight teams are? Can we just
basically
have the Super Bowl in like 2 weeks?
Do the playoff bubble at this point?
You know, quarantine, like bring the top eight teams in one city, quarantine them for 2 weeks, and let's just yada yada this thing.
I disagree, but listen, football, when it's gone, the worst thing in the world.
What are we doing?
The worst day of the year is the day after the Super Bowl.
What are we doing? We got teams playing with like half the team is on the COVID list.
Listen, there have been replacement players and scabs, and like it's not the first time it's happened.
But you can't even bring in replacement players. You have your like your contingent, and then you can't even bring more people in off the street.
Yeah, it's tricky.
Mm-hmm. So I don't know. It's what are we doing here with the NFL?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Look, it's just like we're going through the motions here.
Yeah, but not on this podcast where we bring our A game every week, including next week, episode 111, when we talk about season 3, episode 7 of Family.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sorry to be a Debbie Downer about the NFL, but I mean, by the way, spoiler alert, we're recording this podcast on a Wednesday afternoon.
First time in many months.
At the same time that there's an NFL game happening in the middle of Wednesday afternoon.
Like, can't beat it.
Because there's like 37 players on the Ravens that have other in COVID protocol. All right, Akiva, great job once again. Thank you all so
great
much
job by you.
Thank you all so much for listening. We'll be back next week, episode 111, when we're gonna be watching Family Matters season 3, episode 7. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.
Podcast, but I'd need your help. Can we finally seal the deal?
I think we do. We need a podcast, but that's not enough. We have nothing if we don't at least have a small idea.
For this weekend, let's just pretend that we know what will be coming up next. Rob and Akiva need a podcast.
I got one more podcast to do.
I bet Mira's happy that I get to do two. I got one more podcast to do.
And I'm just happy that I get to do it with you.
Listen, Akiva, I'm sorry I peeved ya, but you know it's all in good fun. I never expected we'd all be objective. Now this new podcast has begun.
Dude, are you a moron? You think that I'd move on? Leaving was never my plan. You act like an asshat, but of course I'll come back. True. The 32 fans.
Rob and Akiva need a podcast, and they need your help. Can you make it onto the wheel? Rob and Akiva need a podcast. Yeah, they'll buy or sell your ideas. They'll talk about it till you've gotten your fill. Every weekend, better ahead. You can guess what will be coming up next. Rob and Akiva need a podcast.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.